The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Monday, January 20th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a battalion chief is now under arrest after authorities say he sexually abused minors, according to the Chester County District Attorney's Office. 27-year-old Carlton Bell, who was the battalion chief at the North Coventry Fire Company and served as a volunteer firefighter at Limerick, Ridge, and Goodwill and Pottstown Fire Companies, has been charged with multiple counts of involuntary deviant sexual intercourse, statutory sexual assault, unlawful contact with a minor, and related offenses. He has been suspended from all fire companies. On December 24th, 2019, authorities say they learned that Bell had previously made contact with a 15-year-old through the online dating app Grindr. Their conversation continued on Snapchat, where the pair allegedly exchanged nude photos and arranged to meet for sex. Investigators say on September 15th, 2019, Bell picked up the teen at a home in Cowan Township and brought the child back to his residence, where they say they engaged in sexual acts. Bell allegedly created a group chat on Snapchat with the 15-year-old and two other suspected minors believed to be 16 and 17 years old. 4 days later, on September 19th, the DA's office says Bell picked up the 15-year-old and two additional suspected minors, where they returned to his house to engage in sexual acts. Bell was arrested on January 17th and is currently being held on $150,000 cash bail. Police are investigating a death of a man found lying on Interstate 295 in Bucks County on Sunday. The discovery was made just after 4 a.m. on eastbound 295 near the Ford Road overpass in Bensalem. The incident was reported by a passing driver who thought that there may have been a car crash. However, police said that when they arrived to the scene, no car was located. State police have identified the victim as 31-year-old Joshua McRae of Trenton. Police say he was found dead with gunshot wounds. Police shut down 295 as well as 95 southbound at exit 40 while they conducted their investigation. Anyone with information to McRae's whereabouts prior to the incident are being asked to contact state police. The Philadelphia Teachers Union plans to take legal action over the district's handling of asbestos exposure in school buildings. In a statement, officials from the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers say that they will reveal details from their lawsuit on Monday. Time and again, the school district has claimed that their actions are out of an abundance of caution. What we've seen time and again is the district's willingness to throw caution to the wind as a result and put children and educators at risk, said the PFT president, Jerry Jordan. Several schools across Philadelphia have been forced to temporarily close after the discovery of exposed asbestos. Earlier this month, the district said 174 of the district's 214 schools have asbestos somewhere inside the building. Officials said asbestos only poses a health threat once it becomes loose and airborne. In sports this morning,
ball sacks are yummy.
The Super Bowl matchup is set in the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs beat the Tennessee Titans yesterday afternoon in Kansas City, winning 35-24. Patrick Mahomes threw for 294 yards and three touchdowns. 15 years after leading the Eagles to the Super Bowl, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid is going back to the big game. Former Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb tweeted, "So happy for the guy. Best I ever had as a coach. That's my coach. Congratulations, Andy Reid."
Andy!
In the NFC, the 49ers beat the Green Bay Packers last night in San Francisco. Raheem Mostert.
Francisco, that's fun to say.
Rushed for 220 yards and four touchdowns. And the 49ers beat the Green Bay Packers 37-20 for the NFC Championship. Super Bowl 54 is in 2 weeks on February 2nd in Miami. Both the Sixers and Flyers won over the weekend. The Flyers, who continue to have one of the best records at home in the NHL, are off until tomorrow night, their last game before the All-Star break, when they'll host the Pittsburgh Penguins. And the Sixers have won three straight games and are in sixth place in the Eastern Conference. They play this afternoon in Brooklyn against the Nets. Tip-off for their annual matinee game on Martin Luther King Day is scheduled for 3 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. So we welcome you to a Monday morning. And yes, Martin Luther King Jr. Day today. So that means we will not be doing our Easy Money contest today. We will resume tomorrow. So we'll get you set for that. In the meantime, we're just going to hang and converse and play some music and have a good time. And that's what we're going to do on a Monday morning.
Absolutely. It's a day of giving back, right? So we're giving back today.
Yep, absolutely.
With this show.
That's
what it's our gift.
That's it? That's our day of service?
It's our day of service.
You're welcome.
It's today. We brought trash bags and a rake.
So we're going to clean up all this, foliage and whatnot in the office.
Yeah, no, we're not. We just brought them.
Exactly. They're here.
Yeah. The heavy lifting is saying these words.
You're welcome, Philadelphia.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys had a good weekend.
It was pretty good.
Got cold this weekend.
It did, yeah.
Got icy this weekend.
Yeah.
I saw, we may talk about it later, I have no idea, but we went out Saturday evening to meet up with some friends, and as we got out onto the Northeast Extension, we saw cars up on guardrails.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, because it was slushy and icy, and people weren't quite... it didn't look that bad.
No, you're right. It did not look that bad.
And I think it deceived a few people, but we saw accidents all over the place Saturday night.
Yeah, actually, Saturday, when the first round, there were two little, semi-storms, and then there was a space in between. During the first one, a SEPTA bus in Mount Airy coming down a hill. This hill is essential because, there's a bridge closure and this is the detour.
Yeah.
Turned almost completely sideways.
Oh, I believe it.
And it's like, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah. So it got a little dicey, but it didn't last too long.
No.
Great. So, hopefully you avoided any issues over the weekend for that. All right. Nonetheless, it's business as usual anyway on a Monday morning. New Word of the Week prize. We have a 6-pack of pit tickets for the MMRBQ 2020. You can get the details at WMMR.com. So it's 6 tickets. Right there in the pit, right in the heat of it all. So we'll start the letter at the end of today's program and continue on into the end of the week. We'll do a stupid question and all that good stuff. I do have a question.
Yes.
We do have a save the date for the Cardboard Classic, right?
Yeah.
We haven't revealed all the details as of yet.
Registration, all of that stuff is going to be available, I think, this week. So they wanted to get past the first day off, but the date itself has been announced, and it's the first Friday in March.
Yeah.
So people wanted to make sure that they could make plans, take the day off if they wanted to, get hotels, all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of inquiries about it, and we haven't put the full promotional force behind it yet, but it's always that first Friday in March. So those who are curious, it's on.
March
we just got to get the details. I'm sorry.
March 6th is the date.
Sixth. All right, so we're all set. Let's take a quick break, come back in a second. We'll see what the entertainment roundup brings. And like I said, stupid question and a prize. So we'll be right back after these. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so let's see. We're going to do the stupid question this morning, and I just realized I should have come up with a Martin Luther King Jr. question. And because it is Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes.
Day, and I was sifting through my cards here looking for a question. I'm like, you idiot. You should ask something.
Do you want to improv one quickly?
Yeah. Let's see if we can come up with one.
What's one we haven't asked before?
Do you want to ask the date of the speech by any chance?
Do you know the answer?
We Google it. We have interns that can Google that for us.
All right.
We've got Google.
Listen carefully because this is what you're going to want to Google when we present. Yeah.
Let's see.
Here
we go.
All right.
What well-known U2 song pays tribute to Martin Luther King Jr.?
There you go.
215-263-W1. WMMR. I was going to say, I'm sure that we will be playing that song through the course of today. So let's see if you happen to know
or the answer. Or W1, our DJ will play.
W1. Let's see if you know the answer to that. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. What U2 song pays tribute to the one and only Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? I'm going to go through some birthdays today, Monday, January 20th. We have a number of musicians celebrating birthdays today. We'll start with Rob Borden, who's a drummer from the band Linkin Park. He is 41 years old today. We also have Ian Hill, the bassist for Judas Priest, who is 68 today. They were not let into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of yet.
Kind of a mind F. Yeah, I think at this point, Judas Priest should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I did not get a chance to read the article. Bill Weston sent it over about the Rock Hall's issue with heavy metal music. And
there's a bias, a real bias.
Think about it. I mean, especially when hip hop artists are getting in.
No, you're right.
And heavy metal artists are not getting in. So it's just a matter of time. It's eventually. Listen, they're going to start running low on people that they can induct into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you're going to start seeing acts like Judas Priest and all the biggies. All the big metal acts that are going to be making
no,
their way
you're
into
right.
there eventually.
Your point from last week, though, is well taken. That you got to do it. People pass away. You know, yeah. Things happen.
Yeah. Don't wait till it's too late. Yeah. So Ian Hill is 68 today. Paul Stanley of Kiss is also celebrating his 68th birthday today. What song is this?
I Was Made for Loving You,
oh
baby.
Oh, my God.
Probably the worst song. Selection you could make.
Yeah.
This even is when though, we didn't have our makeup on.
Even though that this song was kind of panned,
it's
I liked it.
Bad.
Yeah, I like this song. But
I play this in the coupe, Preston.
But it had more of a disco beat to it, so people were like, what? This is not the Kiss that I know.
No.
All right, but anyhow, Paul Stanley.
There you go.
Detroit Rock City. Is that Gene singing? So Paul's 68. Then you have actor Rainn Wilson, who turns 54 years
talented.
Old.
Talented. Mm-hmm. If all he ever was Dwight Schrute on The Office, that'd be enough.
It also says he was on Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was an alien, I believe.
Okay. Celebrating his 54th birthday today.
And by the way, I mean, so Office has had a major, major resurgence on Netflix.
Yeah.
And my daughter is one of those people who's a huge fan now. She was telling me that there's like an off-Broadway Office show that, I guess it's a show, right?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
Okay. Does she want to go see it, I guess?
Of course she does.
Yeah. Then you have actor Evan Peters, and he was in a couple of the X-Men movies. He played Quicksilver, X-Men Days of Future Past. Stole the movie in that with his scene.
Very talented.
X-Men Apocalypse as well, and American Horror Story, and a bunch of other stuff. In fact, a show that they're shooting in Philadelphia that he is a part of as well.
Yeah,
I think it's an HBO program. But anyhow, he's 33 years old today. Bill Maher, the Real Time with Bill Maher host, is 64. You also have Buzz Aldrin, American hero, second man on the moon, celebrating his 90th birthday today. Oh, what a life.
An incredible life.
Yeah.
And a badass to boot.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of that footage of that conspiracy nut accosting him, I guess, outside a hotel, swearing that we have not landed on the moon. And Aldrin just hauls off and clocks him.
He's earned that.
Yeah.
He can do it.
He was in his face. He wouldn't leave him alone.
Yep. So Buzz is 90 today. David Lynch, the director, writer, and producer of a bunch of twisted and awesome movies.
Yeah.
He's what you call a visionary. Yeah. I mean, we've said Eraserhead is a movie that is like the worst nightmare you've ever had.
Eraserhead leaves me feeling very uneasy, which is its intent, I believe.
Yeah. And then you have something as compassionate as Elephant Man and as intriguing and amazingly visualized as Dune.
Yes.
Twin Peaks. All that stuff is great.
Yeah, Blue Velvet.
Yeah,
some very wild stuff, man. But you got to be in the right mood.
It's not a party movie
to watch some of that stuff.
Yeah,
and the film Eraserhead, the city of Philadelphia inspired him to write that movie.
That sort of claustrophobic, that machine sound, all of that stuff meant to annoy you.
Yep.
That's what he got from Philadelphia.
He got from living here in Philadelphia.
Mommy.
He is celebrating his 74th birthday today.
You ever see his interview with Eddie Vedder?
No.
David Lynch? It's bizarre.
It's gotta be.
But he's a fan, and Eddie's a fan of his, but Steve, it probably would drive you nuts because the pentameter of both of those guys.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Not fast.
Well, David Lynch is up like this.
Yeah.
He's like this.
So we also have other birthdays. Melissa Rivers, daughter of Joan Rivers.
I just saw her on something. I think she's doing the QVC route, too.
I wouldn't doubt it, man. I mean, she'd be perfect to take that that and run with
her. Her mom ran with it like crazy.
When did Joan die?
Huge success.
4 years ago?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago.
And was it that short ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's 52, Missy. Then we have some local birthdays to mention. Quest Love.
Oh.
Amir Thompson is his birth name. Celebrating his 49th birthday today. Of course, the lead of the Roots. I love the fact that the drummer is the lead of the band. It's so rare. It never, ever happens. Us percussionists are going to hold on to that and hang it over everybody else's heads forever. And obviously with Late Night with Jimmy Fallon.
Yes, yeah. I mean, and you had a drum off with him, Preston. How cool was that?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Pretty special.
He's a fan of MMR.
Yep, he went on and on about growing up in Philly and listening to MMR. So 49 years old today. Happy birthday, Questlove.
You should leave a pick in your hair, too, Preston.
You think I can be my cool. signature you can pull it off. As well?
Big afro pick in your hair.
Then we have Nick Foles, who is 31 years old today.
Forever a legend in this city.
Yeah. Most definitely.
We'll never have to pay for a meal.
That is true.
Yeah.
He can eat for free for the rest of his life right here in the city of Philadelphia.
Foles, Nick Foles, table for two, please.
Yes. And it could be table for 200.
Yeah, 200.
Yeah. And then, last birthday, Betsy McIlwain. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's McIlwain. Nick's mom.
A.K.A. the Raisin Queen.
I always forget that Marissa's mom and my mom have back-to-back birthdays. Marissa's mom was last week and my mom's today. But happy birthday, Betsy.
Hey, what is the most common mispronunciation of your last name? McIlwain?
McIlwain, probably, McIlwain. Yeah. But you know what's funny? When I pull into like parking lots and stuff, if my name may or may not be on the list or whatever, the one I've gotten recently a few times for I don't know where it's from, McIlwain.
McIlwain?
McIlwain?
I love the way your name displays and comes up on my Siri in the car, especially when I get if I get a call or a text from you. It's still. Nick Mc what the F, but it's the full word.
McIlwain.
Yeah.
I like Casey's interpretations of your name. McElfart.
McElfarts is a good one.
McElgiz is another one.
Jackie Bam Bam just calls me McWayne, which is
McWayne.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. That's cool.
Well, happy birthday, Betsy.
Yeah, thank you.
Hope she has a lovely, lovely day today. Let's see if we can get an answer to this question. What famous is a really easy one? What is the U2 song that pays tribute to the one and only Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., 215-263-WMMR is the number, and we are going to go to Ralph. Hey, Ralph, good morning.
Coo-coo-ca-choo.
That's really good.
That was terrific.
A little Pierre impression.
Well done, Ralph. Well done. So, what is the song that we're speaking of?
Pride.
Yeah, it's called Pride. In the Name of Love is in parentheses, and the official name of the song is Pride. What a fantastic song. So, Ralph, coo-coo-ca-choo, hang on. We are going to give you a pair of tickets to see comedian Cal Penn, who's going to be performing Saturday, February 1st at the Keswick Theater in Glenside, and tickets go on sale now. You can click concerts at WMMR.com to get the complete information. The weekend box office, number one was Bad Boys for Life. Made $59.3 million.
It got some very good reviews. Actually, Frank Grillo's buddy, Joe Carnahan, who directed and wrote The Gray, he wrote the screenplay for this. And a lot of people are saying it moves, it's paced well, it's funny. And so good for them.
Yep, absolutely. Then you have Doolittle. Came in second and made $23
million. Yeah.
It cost hundreds of millions to make. So.
$175 million. Plus, they got to do like equal that, if not more, for promotion.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that ends up doing. Then you had 1917, followed Jumanji Next Level. Rise of Skywalker was fifth, followed by Just Mercy. Little Women, Knives Out,
We're So Little,
Like a Boss, and the top 10 was rounded out with Frozen 2. So we'll start with the royal stuff because that's all over the place and plenty of information about it. But Prince Harry and Meghan Markle will no longer use Royal Highness titles and won't receive public money for their royal duties, Buckingham Palace revealed on Saturday.
Did you hear their new names?
No.
Tango and Cash.
All right. All right.
I love it.
Unbelievable.
While not unique,
right?
It rolls off the tongue.
A lot of people feel it was sort of a backhanded insult that the Queen decreed that would be their new names, but they have to abide by that.
Well,
now.
Just like the movie, it's kind of confusing who's Tango and who's Cash.
I know, and the Queen meant it that way.
Okay.
She didn't want it to be easy for them.
What's more, the pair will pay back the money that they spent on renovations for Frogmore Cottage, which will remain their home in the UK. The repairs cost British taxpayers about $3.06 million, and they're going to pay that back, according to royal accounts.
You think they're going to have to do extra chores, Kathy.
Yeah, you think they're going to pay back, really?
Yes.
They say they're going to.
Look at all their connections now. Money's not going to be an issue for them, so they eventually will. I'll be curious to see how this plays out, though, in 5-10 years.
Yeah.
They have also reportedly laid off much of their Frogmore staff as they prepare to spread across the globe. Staffers will join other royal households. I agree, Steve. I think eventually they will come back. They'll get their titles back.
Yep.
They'll resume their duties once she figures out what royal life is all about. Because even though they won't have these titles, and even though they won't be explicitly doing the formal duties and so forth, they're still the royal family.
They still are part of the royal family.
People are still going to be fascinated with them.
And I think they just got killed with an onslaught of attention.
Yeah.
And some of it, you know, the legendarily aggressive British press, and also some of their own making as well.
Yeah.
But I think once this subsides, things might work out exactly the way the Queen wants it for Tango and Cash.
Queen Elizabeth said in a statement, "Harry, Meghan, and Archie will always be much-loved members of my family. I recognize the challenges they've experienced as a result of intense scrutiny over the last 2 years and support their wish for a more independent life." The Queen said that she hopes that Harry and Meghan will be able to, quote, "start building a happy and peaceful new life. I want to thank them for all their dedicated work across this country, the Commonwealth and beyond, and am particularly proud of how Meghan has so quickly become one of the family."
What the
f***? Despite foregoing their use of public funds, the pair will reportedly still be supported financially by Prince Charles.
Yes.
So he's going to give them money.
And they have a Goop satellite store that they're going to run.
Well, it's very trendy and popular. So.
This is a porcelain egg, which apparently is a wonderful asset to your vagina.
He's actually selling this stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
It's
okay.
A big...
I thought maybe like management or something.
No, it's a feather in the cap to get him out in front of the counter. Yeah.
Sure, I would imagine. Imagine you step up to buy your vagina egg.
Couldn't help but notice you were looking at the vaginal eggs.
My
Prince Harry? Yes. Yes, in fact, I am.
I'm just browsing.
For purposes, just refer to me as Cash.
And on Sunday, Harry attended an event for supporters of his Sentible charity, an organization that helps that aims to help the health of children with HIV. He referenced his decision, saying in part, "It brings me great sadness that it has come to this. The decision that I've made for my wife and I to step back is not one that I made lightly. It was so many months of talks after so many years of challenges, and I know I've always gotten it right. But as far as this goes, there really was no other option. What I want to make clear is that we're not walking away, and we certainly aren't walking away from you."
No way!
He said, "Our hope was to continue serving the Queen, the Commonwealth, and my military associations, but without public funding, unfortunately, that was impossible. I've accepted this knowing that it doesn't change who I am or how committed I am, but I hope that that helps you understand what it had come to, that I would step back, my family back from all that I've ever known to take a step forward in what I hope can be a more peaceful life."
This is what I have been come to know.
Exactly.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Meghan is reportedly looking for new digs in one of... I just thought of something. the King's Speech with me. Didn't you riff on that one time?
Yeah, yeah,
that's right. Okay, that's why.
Is this not what I have been come to know as?
It's just some sort of improv.
We're going to have to work on that. For example, you should have an actual subject of the sentence. And the predicate should in some way relate to that subject.
Preston's speech. Meanwhile, Meghan is reportedly looking for new digs.
The Nazis have been come to know now.
Or as Churchill used to say, Narsies.
Really?
Yes.
The halls is.
Meanwhile, Megan is reportedly looking for new digs in one of Canada's toniest neighborhoods.
Everyone here is named Tony.
Hey, Tony!
I wasn't familiar with the term toniest.
Trendy.
Sure, yeah, that's what I figured it means, but I'd never heard toniest.
Hey!
Hey, Tony!
My name's Tony. This is little Tony. This is Anthony.
Looking good, Tony.
This is Antonella.
Anthony.
Anthony Jr. Tone. Anthony Sr.
T.
Anthony the fourth.
Anthony the fifth, sixth, and seventh.
She's allegedly eyeing, listen to this, a $27 million waterfront property in Vancouver.
27 mil?
Yeah, listen to this.
Because they just want to be regular people and they get off their backs.
She made a lot of money in that deal or no deal.
So the 108-year-old four-level, 6,900-square-foot property, four levels in Vancouver in their Kitsilano neighborhood, with views of the Pacific Ocean and the Vancouver skyline. It features six bedrooms, five bathrooms, and 20 feet of beachside walls. You know, Vancouver is gorgeous, by the way.
I love it. It's a beautiful city.
Oh, my God.
But if you're looking to get as far away from England, they're on the west coast. I thought they might be on the eastern side of Canada.
Yeah, it's about as far away as you can get.
Yeah, and move to the Aleutians.
Yeah, but it is it's a stunning city, and we just flew into there and then drove up to Whistler, so I didn't really get to explore Vancouver. I would really like to go back there someday.
We vacationed there. That was the first step in that British Columbia vacation that my wife and I took, and then we went up to Whistler, Preston, which was gorgeous, and all that whole area is just a pristine, gorgeous city.
She and 8-month-old Archie are hanging in Canada while Harry wraps up things in the UK. Their arrangements and agreements will reportedly be reviewed in a year.
God, I would love it if they had another kid named Jughead.
Wouldn't that be perfect?
I mean, now they can if they're really sort of disconnecting from the royal family.
Jughead, Big Ethel, just get them all in there.
And this is Dondi.
12 jurors are set for Harvey Weinstein's rape trial.
Wow.
So they've chosen the jury, and they've broken down the... it's a mix of men and women. Obviously, the jurors are employed in banking, accounting, tech, and security, and at least one has school-aged kids.
And one is a ventriloquist who has been allowed to speak through the dummy.
That'd be awfully nice of them to allow that. On Friday, the defense made a last-ditch effort to have the jury selection closed to the media. Arthur Adala argued in part that there's been much more publicity today and articles that have come out about this case. I know the court has been admonishing jurors to not look at anything, but we know some jurors have been ignoring that. Judge James Burke responded tartly, saying your application is denied. Nothing you said makes logical sense to me.
Wow.
One prospective juror is facing 30 days in jail after posting a pic of his summons on Twitter. We talked about that last week. He's set to return to court in March. Weinstein's team also alleged that the jury pool has been infiltrated with what they call steel jurors. Steel spelled S-T-E-A-L.
Oh, not robots.
No. Who lied during the...
Innocent.
He said who lied during the selection process, claiming they could be impartial when they actually had secret prejudices, according to reports.
Uh-huh.
How do you find that out?
There's no way you can. No. That's what makes this whole process so ridiculously time-consuming. I'm surprised they got it done this amount of time.
Yeah. This was the defense's fourth attempt to get a sequestered jury. 67-year-old Weinstein has been charged with 5 counts of sexual assault and rape in New York, and he has pleaded not guilty, of course. So, Korean thriller Parasite.
Yes.
Made history at the 26th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards last night, becoming the first foreign language film to win Best Motion Picture Cast.
How about that?
And that's the big award.
The ensemble, yeah.
Yeah, Parasite is just the second foreign language film to score an ensemble nomination in the history of the SAG Awards, following 1997's movie Life is Beautiful.
Yes.
The Italian film.
With the who is it?
Roberto
Benigni.
Benigni, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In another streaming stride, Netflix's The Crown nabbed Best TV Drama, and Amazon's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel took home Best TV Comedy. I actually watched both of those shows. I can't believe it.
Did anybody watch Parasite?
I've not seen it, no.
I've heard good things about it. I opened I understand it to be more of a comedy, that it has more of a comedic edge
to it. Well, I watched the beginning of it. There was... I mean, at least in the beginning, there was no comedy to it. But not that I got bored, but I was like, I can't. Like, you have to really pay attention. There needs to be nothing else going on to read. The whole movie.
Nick Murphy loved it.
He loved the movie. Listen, it was good. And I was like, but, you know, I could hear Jace playing upstairs. I'm like, I got to, like, sit down and watch this when no one's around.
I have gotten so used to using subtitles now because of my lousy hearing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I use subtitles on everything now.
Oh, no way. So you're used to it.
It's no big deal now. I don't have any issue with it.
I've never had a big deal, with movie. If it's a movie, but you can't look away from the screen.
No, you can't look away. And I was stopping. Jace was calling my name, and then suddenly I'd have to stop. I'd have to go back because I missed something that somebody said.
Well, the director is a really talented director. He did a movie that I love called The Host, which is a flat-out monster movie. But, I want to check out the whole thing.
Yep. So they did very, very well last night. In a repeat of the Golden Globes, Renee Zellweger and Joaquin Phoenix had won for their leading film roles, while Peter Dinklage and Jennifer Aniston surprised with their drama series victory. So he won for Game of Thrones and she won for The Morning Show. Phoebe Waller-Bridge won for Fleabag, and Tony Shalhoub for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. They got trophies for the comedy series categories.
Tony Shalhoub is so great in Maisel.
He's awesome.
He's fantastic.
I just started watching Fleabag.
Okay. What do you think?
It's funny.
It's funny, isn't
it's
it?
Really funny. It's clever.
It's wrong.
It's totally wrong.
In every possible way.
Yeah.
And she's a character that you could easily dislike, but you can't help liking her.
And she's super cute.
She's got a great delivery.
I love it. By the way, this was pretty cool. Joaquin Phoenix, you know, won for Joker, and he gave a nice shout out to Heath Ledger.
I'm better than you.
No, he didn't say that at all. He said, I'm really standing here on the shoulders of my favorite actor, Heath Ledger. That's pretty damn cool.
We were acknowledging that, you know, this is a case where an actor's, he very well, if he wins the Oscar, that's going to be, you know, again, for the same character. I wonder in Oscar history how many times that's occurred.
Yeah, good question. By the way, we have a clip of Brad Pitt, I believe, from last night. Case, can you pull that up?
Yep.
He was up for Best Supporting Actor for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And he had a nice little moment. Here is the clip. Here we go.
Let's be honest. It was a difficult part. A guy who gets high, takes his shirt off, and doesn't get on with his wife.
And at that point, they showed a shot of Jennifer Aniston.
Right. She was
in the audience.
It was a big stretch. It's big.
So he won for that. Also, Best Supporting Actress went to Laura Dern for Marriage Story.
I finally watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood over the weekend and loved it. And have you seen it, Preston?
No, I have not. I've got to see it.
If you like Inglourious Basterds, I mean, if you like any Tarantino movie, it's great. I'm really curious as to, because they show the production value on it is through the roof. They spent a lot of time in L.A. in the late 60s, early 70s. Maybe
70s. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
And they show a lot of places. And I'm wondering how many of those places are still around, because Tarantino spent a lot of time with these exteriors of spots,
right,
as they looked in 1969, and they look. I'm wondering if he got that footage today, you know, in present day.
Yeah, well, some of it has been restored from happens to be a ton of footage of that time that is in good shape. So I think it was a combination of both, from what I understand.
So a few other stories. Rebel Wilson is focused on getting healthy, and part of that includes getting serious about fitness. The 39-year-old comedian debuted a toned-up figure on Instagram. She also posted a video of herself doing a CrossFit exercise with her trainer, Jono Castano, then retweeted, and he uploaded a shot of himself and Wilson. He wrote, "Friday vibes, but Rebel Wilson has been putting in the yards 7 days a week. Proud of you, girl."
So how much weight has she lost?
Not a whole lot. It doesn't look like she doesn't. You don't look at her and all of a sudden go, "Oh my God!"
Right.
But she's trimmed up a little bit, so she's on the right path. She's trying to get a little bit more healthy. She is dedicated 2020 to health, telling followers that she's determined to make over her life in ways big and small. She wrote earlier this year on social, "I put on the athleisure and went out for a walk, deliberately hydrating on the couch right now and trying to avoid the sugar and junk food, which is going to be hard after the holidays I've just had, but I'm going to do it."
She looks good. You know, I was thinking about this because the, Dan Folger, whatever he goes by, he's He's in the Harry Potter. He's in the Heavenly Beasts. George was in two movies. The newer Harry.
Yeah.
Vogler, right?
Vogler.
Yeah. He was
in Walking Dead.
He was also
in Walking Dead, and he was in the Star Wars.
Fanboys. God damn it,
Fanboys.
Which is Adam Goldberg wrote.
He's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So he lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're making a third movie. How he goes back and plays that character that he plays in those two movies.
It's in pre-production, Steve. Fantastic Beasts number 3 is going to come out next year.
Because he's going to look dramatically different.
They do a spell on him.
Yeah. Maybe.
Oh. Antaius Lardano.
Yeah.
Because he showed up in The Walking Dead. And I have an issue where you have overweight people in that show because it is so
they
far...
They should be starving.
Yeah. So far into the zombie apocalypse. It's like... How come you're not losing any weight over there? Like, what are you hiding over there, kid?
Well, it's like they got to that town where they were cannibalizing.
Just humans in general.
Right. Yeah. Oh, we got enough food.
All right, so she's trying to lose weight. So, good luck to her and her mission. Martha Stewart is sniffing at Gwyneth Paltrow's latest Goop launch. While appearing on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, she shared her thoughts on Paltrow's sold-out $75 This Smells Like My Vagina candle.
Uh-huh.
Martha said, I'm sure it's sold out. She does that kind of irritating, and then she paused and says she's trying to zhup up the public to listen to her.
Uh-huh.
And that's great.
It's zhup, there it is.
Well, it's spelled Z-H-U-Z-H. Zhush. Zhush up
I
the
don't
public.
Know. I don't know that word.
She said, let her do her thing. And then Stewart continued sharing her thoughts on the popularity of the This Smells Like My Vagina candle. She said, I think it's a lot of guys who are horny.
I don't think so.
No.
What the smell was described as is nothing that would, I think, remind you of a vagina.
No.
Yeah, I'm plenty horny, but I don't need a candle.
Yeah,
exactly.
And let me ask you, does Gwyneth take each candle and make sure that it's covered in her scent?
I don't know. Light the vagina candle, please, darling.
Let's light this vagina candle.
and the right stuff.
Yeah, right.
Bella and Gigi Hadid kicked off Fashion Week 2020 on Saturday by twinning in oatmeal-colored dresses.
I love when twins wear similar clothing.
For the Jacquemus Menswear Fall-Winter 2020-2021
Did you say
in Paris,
the Jacquemus Festival?
The Jacquemus Festival.
Wait, are they twins? Or they're just sisters, right?
No, they're just sisters.
Yeah, okay.
But they were twinning in their outfits.
They were outfits.
Twinning.
Got it. Yeah. Oh.
Sister.
And it was, and listen, I said it, and they fall in their fall winter 2020-2021 show in Paris.
All right.
Gigi has had a busy week.
She must have had a very busy week.
Well, she was just dismissed as a juror in the Harvey Weinstein trial.
Okay. All right.
So she did have a bit of a busy week.
And she ate a sandwich,
which could be quite.
I don't know. Before the laborious. Runway, I'm thinking maybe not.
Well, it was Tuesday, Kat. Right. So she
the day after, she had half a sandwich and a water.
Yeah, they're both real thin, aren't they? Yeah. Cameron Diaz and Benji Madden recently revealed the birth of their daughter, Radix, and now more details are emerging. Their daughter's full name is Radix Chloe Wildflower Madden. I do like the name Radix because Rad is the short version of that. She was born on December 30th, and it was at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. 47-year-old actress revealed Radix's birth on January 3rd, but said she was keeping all else under wraps to protect her privacy.
Radix makes me think of Radisson, which, should we start naming our kids after hotels? That might be kind of cool.
The Radisson.
This is Marriott.
Actress Norma Michaels, who starred in King of Queens and Modern Family, has passed away. She was 95 years old.
The name doesn't ring a bell, but I'm sure I'd recognize her.
Yeah, I'll give you a few of the characters. She actually started on the Jack Benny program.
Oh, my God.
She rose to fame there, left acting to pursue a career as a therapist. She returned to acting in 1987. She starred as Mrs. Belker in Highway to Heaven.
Oh.
She's most beloved for her roles as Josephine on King of Queens and Helen on Modern Family. Other credits include Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Lizzie McGuire, Two Broke Girls, Everybody Loves Raymond, Days of Our Lives, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and Easy A. So she worked late in her life. So she lived a full one, 95 years old. So sad to hear that. But she did live a full life. The Hollywood Reporter writes that Jojo Rabbit and Thor Ragnarok's director, Taika Waititi, is being courted to direct a new Star Wars film. Following the most recent Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker installment, the franchise is going on pause, but it seems that the show may not be over yet.
It's interesting because I watched Solo again over the weekend, you know, the Han Solo prequel, which I think is good.
But
tap the brakes on a lot of these projects.
Overkill.
Yeah, like The Mandalorian pulled off a great one. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a great addition to the universe, but it's like it's too much.
It's part of the reason why I haven't watched The Mandalorian. Number one, I haven't gotten the streaming service yet, but I'm just like, I don't... This is me speaking personally.
Yes.
I don't really need any more Star Wars in my life right now.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are loving The Mandalorian, but I got to take a break on it.
No, I hear you. Yeah. I was initially reticent, and then they got me.
Yeah, gotcha. And then one last story. After 7 years of success on HBO's Veep, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is signing a multi-overall deal with Apple, her first foray into the world of streaming. She will develop projects as a star and an executive producer. She has landed 11 Emmy Awards and 9 SAGs over the course of her career. So she's continuing.
How's her health?
I don't know.
I think she's good, right?
From what I understand, yeah, she's cancer-free. And so as of now, everything seems to be, you know, looking good. We're ready for clips. Viewers are invited to follow the daily lives of WWE superstars Mike and Maurice Mizanin?
The Miz.
Mizanin in The Miz and The Mrs. I just don't know him as
That's
The Miz.
That's all I know him as, yeah.
In this clip, Mike Mizanin.
Just saying.
Mizanin.
It's Mizanin. discusses why the couple decided to move to Austin, Texas.
There was a couple reasons. One was in Los Angeles, people started finding out where we lived. And once they found out where we lived, they knew that when we're on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, it's live. They know exactly where we're at. So our house kept getting attempted robberies. And so it was more of a safety concern.
Shut the f*** up!
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now
do a reality show where you show where they are.
Season 2 of Miz and Mrs. premieres tomorrow at 10 p.m. on USA. Here's the next clip. The real-life story, Vietnam War veteran William H. Pitzenbarger is depicted in the all-star film The Last Full Measure. In this clip, producer and star Travis Aaron Wade talks about a previous project helped him prepare for working with this ensemble cast.
Well, I did a film called The Forger with Chris Plummer before, and it was Chris and John Travolta and a handful of other incredible actors. That kind of prepared me for this. If I would have done anything other than that into this, I probably would have been a little bit overwhelmed.
Hey! Sounds cool. The Last Full Measure opens in theaters this Friday, by the way. There you go. That's your entertainment report this morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's take a break and come back in a moment and see what kind of trouble we can get into, all of us together in one big party. So stay put. We will be back in a second or two, my friend.
You've got to be kidding.
It's MMR's Easy Money Contest.
Just won $1,000, huh?
Yeah, I did, man.
Your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times every weekday.
Are you serious?
Tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear that hour's winning keyword. One random entry wins $1,000 in cash every time.
Thank you so much.
You guys are awesome.
MMR's Easy Money.
Ryan, congratulations. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, sir. MMR rock.
You won $1,000.
I can't believe this.
Complete contest rules at WMMR.com.
93.3
WMMR. Everything that rocks, baby.
Fantastic, man.
I love WMMR.
Powered by Meineke. Total car care since 1972.
So, Nick, I saw that you posted a picture on Instagram of you and our buddy Ryan, former intern of the Preston and Steve show, now one of the head dudes over at Piazza Subaru in Limerick.
Yeah, man.
You got a brand new car.
Hey! Thank you. I'm a proud Subaru owner. I've loved Subarus for a number of years. Casey actually bought one last year, and I've been talking to him a lot about it. And I've endorsed Subaru for a few years and rented them, but never owned one. So I bought it on Saturday. It was a perfect day to buy a Subaru because it was kind of snowy out. So, bought my new car.
Brand new car.
Brand new car.
And then what happened?
So, great day on Saturday. Very positive experience with Ryan and everybody at Piazza Subaru. Shout out to Dan and Mike. And then I go home and I go about my day on Saturday. get up and go to breakfast on Sunday morning. And I don't know what happened, but in between the time that I parked the car on Saturday night and the time that I got up on Sunday morning, a crack appeared in the windshield. I'd had the car for less than 24 hours. I don't know. It was really windy on Saturday night. So, the storm kind of came through.
The wind probably broke it.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Like a piece of ice. I don't know what
I bet you ice or something. Yeah. Were you under a tree by any chance?
I was parked in the driveway. I didn't park in the garage. So
ice could have slid off.
Maybe off the roof or something. You know, off the it's house possible. Roof or whatever. Steve, I really have no idea what happened.
And then it would have melted. That's why the mob uses ice pick. The picks right. made of
yep.
ice. Themselves.
Yeah, they melt and yeah. that destroys the evidence. So, but it just goes to the the story of I bought this brand new thing, and just immediately something happened.
Honestly,
something happened right away.
When I looked at it, I laughed. I wasn't even that annoyed or that pissed off about it because I was like, "You got to be kidding me!" Like yeah. I've had this car for less than 24 hours, and now I got to get the windshield replaced. And listen, in the grand scheme of things, who cares? It's fine. I can replace a windshield.
Sure.
I just couldn't believe that.
I just got it.
I just got it.
Yeah.
It's all shiny and pretty and clean and everything, and now there's a bent.
You want
in
that pristine yeah. sort of at least that grace period where right? I'm like, look at it.
Yeah.
Did you you're on a high.
An absolute
yeah.
high. When you get that brand new whatever it is, you're on a high yep. and any little thing that can happen like that's like,
are you serious?
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Electronics are notorious for that. Dropping electronics yeah. and so I had a the second iPhone. Look at this. Fell out of my hands and cracked the screen.
Nick, did you buy the insurance? Because I bought like windshield insurance when I got my car.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of comprehensive warranty plans and
okay.
the tire thing and all of it. So, listen, I'm sure that it'll get fixed quickly. and everybody, Piazza's been great. I texted Ryan right away and let him know. And he was like, yeah, we'll take care of it.
Can't you return it? Like, it's been less than 24 hours.
The whole thing?
Yeah. You know what? I changed my mind.
I'm going to send it back.
Yeah. Oh, man. But that's my motto, which is, when something like that happens is, of course.
Of course.
Those two words. Of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I bought my first car on May 1st, 2000. I'll never forget the day because I scratched the mirror on it the day I bought it on a drive-thru at Burger King. I pulled in too tight. I was like, yeah. I was you've got to be kidding me. And I was actually almost relieved because... I'm like,
you got it out of the way?
Got it out of the way.
Yeah.
I got it out of the way. And I'm like, okay, this is good. But the day of.
A brand new car. In fact, I was going to one of our events. It was going to be a mixer at Kavanaugh's. And you know that lot where you go in to park and you go, they have the little toll areas there. There's you pull into that lot right adjacent to where Kavanaugh's is. I'm going through and it's at such an obtuse angle, I can't reach the machine to get the thing. I open up the door, clunk. There's a dent in the door. God damn it.
And it's funny how something like that, it just mocks you. Whatever that thing is, and I'll explain, because I'd gotten a brand new car, and I was hanging my Easy Pass, up on the windshield. And I guess the little sticky part didn't hold well, and it falls, and the, this is kind of hard to explain. You know how, on Velcro, there's a soft side and a rough side?
Yes.
So the rough side came down, and you're going to think this is so first world, it's pathetic. But there's part of the leather finish, okay? And it scuffed it and put a little hole in it. All right.
And so it fell down on your stock portfolio.
But listen, this is brand new. I mean, I just got the car. I've had the car for, 5 years now.
Right.
And that little hole... I see it every day.
Hi, Preston.
And it mocks me.
Uh-huh. Do you remember when this happened, Preston? You used to have a perfect vehicle, and then it happened immediately. You're not meant to have good things.
But here's the thing. I've had the car for 5 years, so there's dings, there's scrapes, there's marks all over the car now. But that one,
that's the one.
Little mark.
You shouldn't have good things.
From the first week that I owned it, still stares at me and goes, you idiot. This is your fault.
Oh, well, you know me and my figures. So I, my Batman stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my big Ben Affleck. Again, Preston, this is a first world problem. As people, trust me, it's not lost on me.
Yeah.
But I've been waiting for this thing. I ordered them a year in advance.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law sets up this the shelf that looks like a corner of a building in Gotham. It's up in me. He installs it in my room, and I'm putting it up there, and I'm like, I can feel the excitement.
And the Batman's head, which is a magnetically attached, falls over. And it cracked, and I'm like, and my brother-in-law John said, I was half thinking of running to the car and leaving because I knew you were going to detonate, and I didn't, but I it's like I had had that thing for less than 6 hours,
yeah,
and it cracked. Fortunately, it was one of those cracks that was so perfect that I could just, you know, crazy glue it. But every time I go in there, I go, you're not as perfect as you used to be.
And Steve, when that happened, it would have been so great if you guys, you and Claire were like entertaining and had friends over. And then Claire comes down and goes, everyone has to leave. I'm sorry.
Please leave now.
Please leave now.
Take the children quickly. Yes. Leave.
I'm going to go to some calls. I have Jessica. Hi, Jessica. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? So, Jessica, you got something brand new, and it looks like it was probably pretty pricey, right?
A ridiculously expensive purse that I was over the moon for, and a family member was also gracious around Christmas time to make meatloaf for us, and I had offered to pick it up because meatloaf is my favorite, and I was so excited, having the best week ever, Christmas week. Little did I know that this meatloaf, as I was carrying it inside the house, was dripping oil all over me and all over the suede of this stupid expensive purse. Inside the purse, my coat, my jeans, inside my shoes. It was like, I couldn't have, it was a horror movie to me. I literally shed tears because I'm like, I never get anything this nice. And here I am.
And then meatloaf juice.
Effing meatloaf. And Jessica, don't you feel like the universe is telling you, shame on you for wanting material things.
Exactly.
Shame on you
and
for
I'll
wanting
never eat meatloaf again.
Right. There are people in this world who would just die for just a piece of this meatloaf and look at you with all this meatloaf.
Was it completely destroyed, the purse?
So I took it back to the store. I literally called the corporate office and everything because I was so heartbroken. And they were like, sorry, there's nothing we can do about this. Oh.
You don't have any sort of meatloaf policy? You don't have any meatloaf insurance? What kind of company is this?
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's tough because it's on you. And I understand being... Have you come close, Preston, to welling up when you see something, you know, and you feel like such an idiot? There's no way out of it just then just to say, I feel like an idiot, but when this broke,
well,
it sucked.
The saddest part about this now is how Jessica feels about meatloaf.
Yeah.
Meatloaf, double meatloaf. I hate meatloaf.
They ruined meatloaf for her.
Absolutely.
Her most favorite things of all. But yeah, of course, I've been like, oh no.
What about golf clubs and stuff like that?
I mean, nothing brand new. I mean, I have, out of frustration, I broke a golf club one time and I was like, you are a moron. You just did that, didn't you? Now you got to buy a new one, don't
you? Yeah.
Steve, speaking of which, a friend of mine lives down in Fort Myers, Florida, right. And he was down at spring training last year. Now listen, this guy owns a Cadillac dealership, right?
Yeah.
He's not hurting for money at all. I'm talking to him about golf. He's like, yeah, you know, and he's got all of this really expensive golf equipment. So he sends me his driver that, you know, he's like, I only used it like twice.
Right.
The first time I hit it, I shattered the shaft of this driver. It just the club head went flying like a good 75 yards down the.
Impressive!
Yeah, but nice try. I crushed it. But I was like, oh man, I can't have nice things.
I can't have nice things.
But the worst thing is, it's brand new. You just get this. Nick just got a brand new car, and boom, broken windshield.
Do you remember? It happened twice. When it was Preston, Marilyn, and Steve, this is, you know, the PDAs and like
that.
So
Palm Pilots.
Yeah, so I had whatever the competitor was. I just got it, sat it down on the counter next to Marilyn. She knocked her coffee on it.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, like the day before. I go back. Oh. Fortunately, I'd bought the replacement policy.
Oh, good.
Bring it back. 2 days later, I knock my coffee over. Yeah.
No.
I am not meant to have this.
Steve, I just remembered that you got not the current car that you have, the one that you had before this car.
Right.
You had had it for a day. And it was you bought it in the winter, and I was driving to work in my old car.
Oh, yeah.
It was really icy in the parking lot, and I parked behind you. And I am slamming on the brakes. I came within an inch of hitting your car, and I, like, my life was flashing through. You know, you had had the car for a day. I almost rear-ended you. I'm so grateful that I was able to stop.
Trust me, though, a couple of times, I came out, I had a new car. I came out in the dark. I told you this story. The car was black. I'm like, it was in the summer. I go to lower the window on the driver's side, and I suddenly realized there's no window there. And somebody had careened into the, I had this car for just a couple of days. Right. Brand new.
I had, we had bought a new refrigerator. This was years ago, and it was stainless steel. Beautiful. Shiny. Looks great. We put it in this place. We got a new fridge. Refrigerator is one of those things you're kind of proud of when you get it in.
I got a refrigerator. I can keep my food cold.
It's brand new. Yeah. You're like, oh, this is a badass, you know? So it's awesome. And this was back in my full-on Krav Maga training days. And you guys remember how I would go around punching things all the time.
Shadowboxing everywhere you went.
Shadowboxing everywhere I went.
We're talking about it and everything.
So the fridge looked pretty good to me. And I was just throwing, you know, like a light jab at it just for fun at the refrigerator. And just put a dent right
put
in
a
that
dent
thing.
In your brand new fridge.
Brand new refrigerator.
Oh, man.
We looked at that thing for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And just, you
and
know,
it just taunts you.
Always there. Just looking at you. It's the first thing you notice when you look at the fridge.
Let me ask you, did that refrigerator ever act up again?
Not one time.
No. Mm-hmm. Put it in its place?
Yep.
I bought a pair of Air Jordan Retro 4 fly nets. I got them specifically for my the Sixers season.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to wear them. Wore them the one game with Chuck, and they were perfect. Second game, I took my son to him. He dropped Chickies and Pete's cheese on him.
Oh, my God.
Jeez. Oh,
now, it wasn't like a huge glop, but it was enough where I was like, I go, you did this. You did this. And, like, he did it in front of people, so, like, I couldn't.
Really?
I should have worn a condom.
Let me go to Matt. You are on the air. Matt, good morning.
Morning, everyone.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Ah, excellent. Welcome, sir. What was brand new and got wrecked?
Everybody's done this before. A couple of years ago, the brand new iPhone came out. I spent an hour in AT&T transferring everything over. I was excited. I had all my pictures transferred, everything. Got in the car, got home, got out the car, and forgot it was sitting on my lap.
No, man.
Got out face down right into the concrete, shattered the whole screen. Not even an hour.
See, you should be able to take it back and return it. This is broken.
Now, mind you, if you have like the Apple Care and all that stuff, you know, you can have some insurance. But many is the time that I have been to a screen replacement, more for my wife and stuff like that. But if it's going to happen, it's going to happen right after the point of purchase when you're the most excited about it. You notice it never happens to something you've had for 11 years.
Yep. All right. Thanks for the call, man. Here's a few other texts that are coming. This says, bought a new motorcycle, paid extra to have it delivered since I was going to work, got home, decided to go for a ride 2 feet out of my driveway, hit a slick spot, crashed the bike, dislocated my shoulder.
Oh. Woo!
2 feet, and it happened. Wow. Here's another one. How about people who accidentally throw something away? Somebody said, hey, I went and got I got 3 Harvest gift cards through your station for Christmas. My wife threw them away.
Oh.
Mistakenly.
Oh,
just threw them away.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, too, because you're like, that's just money.
That's just money
out
that you threw in the trash.
Yeah.
Wow.
I get annoyed if I give somebody a gift card and they're like, I never used it. I lost it. Or I threw it out by accident. I'm like, you just took my $100 and tossed
and
it in
burned
the trash.
It. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Here is taking a preemptive measure. I'm going to go to Bob. Hi, Bob. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey.
Coo-coo-ca-choo.
It's a PR morning.
What's happening, Bob?
Hey, I used to work for a guy that had to buy work pickups, okay? And once in, every couple years he'd buy a new one, and nobody wanted to drive it, so he'd go out and take everybody out with him and take a hammer and smash the hood. Just hit it once. There he is. He said, it's Dennett. Everybody drive it.
They were so terrified of driving a pristine, brand-new truck that he would cause the first few dents just so they could relax.
And listen, if you work on something that has the word site in it, a work site, it's going to get banged up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you may as well go ahead and say, here's the first one. First one's on me, guys. I can see that.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, my friend Edward, he has like a stucco remediation company, and he has a beautiful work truck. And I was making fun. I'm like, your truck is too pretty. He goes, no. You know, he's like, my wife makes me drive this one. That's like the show truck because it's got like the name of the company on the side and everything like that. That's not the work truck. No.
Let me go to Evan next. Evan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Fire truck.
Fire truck?
Okay. What's happening, Evan?
Fire truck.
So, I know a guy that he had gotten a set of false teeth, and him and his new girlfriend had decided to get frisky, and he had left them in his clothing, and she stepped on them like a day after he got them. And this is 5-6 years later. He never got a new set.
What? That sounds like the worst porn movie ever.
Yeah, right?
Let me take my teeth out.
Now we can get down to business. Whoops. You just stepped on my teeth. Isn't that funny?
I'm not turned on at all.
Not even a little bit.
And oh, by the way,
and it punctured my colostomy bag.
Oh, Jesus.
And then later on, she ripped my catheter out doing doggy style.
Oh, my God. What I was about to say is those things are really expensive.
Well,
and they take a long time to make.
A long time to be made. And as we learned from Lenny Dykstra, who was in studio a while ago, $80,000.
Uh-huh. And that's why he went dumpster diving for him. Let me go next to, let's see, Jay on line 5. Hi, Jay. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. There's nothing on here.
There's nothing on here.
What's up, man?
Not a thing. Hey, it was a bunch of years back. My wife and I bought our first nice new dining room set, nice deep cherry wood. We get the thing, we get it delivered, we get it home, and, you know, maybe we should have planned a little better. We didn't get the pads, the table pads.
Right.
Steve, this one will speak to you. Our cat jumped up on there, and I'm like, you know, we need to get the cat off there. I went to get her, and she kind of freaked and ran and gouged her back claw right in there and left a nice, deep, like, 2-inch gouge on a brand-new dining room table.
Dude. And every time you go in and see that table, your eye is immediately drawn to the scratch.
Mm-hmm.
We had one ring, I guess it was iced tea or something, on a brand-new piece of furniture. Somebody put a drink down without a coaster. I don't care. Shy of sanding the finish off and starting from scratch, I don't know how to get this damn ring out.
Right.
And it just yells at me every time I walk into
calls
the room.
Your name.
Furniture is that way.
This is your fault.
Yeah, furniture is absolutely that way. Where a scratch, whatever it is, it stares at you.
The thing always in your mind is, I guess we can't have nice things.
Yeah. And it always happens when it's brand freaking new.
Yeah. Well, always. So my dining room furniture, it's not scratched at all. But we bought it off of Craigslist.
Yeah.
It was a Bassett. I mean, we saved thousands and thousands of dollars on this because this guy moved from Tennessee and couldn't fit the furniture in his new home. So I was so nervous about, because I had to go get it myself. I couldn't hire a moving company or anything like that. But like, just for that very reason, even though I had saved a lot of money, I didn't want any scratches on it or anything like that. Like, it was, and I had to take it down it was so heavy.
So it's in pristine shape? Nothing happened to it?
No, I said that in the beginning of the story. But, like, I was, like, really, really, really scared that I was going to, like, you know, scratch the top of it. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm going to go to Sam next. Hi, Sam. Good morning.
Oh, hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Sam. What's up?
Okay, so I'm 16 years old. I buy my new car, new to me, not actually a new car, actually. It was a rust bucket, but I'm so excited. My dad takes me to get it. I'm like, Dad, I want to show all my coworkers. He's like, okay. So he drives. I follow him to my work parking lot, like 2 blocks. I pull into the parking lot. I go, I overshoot a parking spot, and I hit somebody's car.
Oh.
Their bumper falls off. I back out, pull into the spot. I see my dad's face. He looks madder than I've ever seen him. Mm-hmm. I go walk into my work. Everybody saw it happen because it's all glass. They're all clapping. I'm crying. $800, brand new car.
Yeah.
Ended up
costing me $1,400 because I had to buy this brand new
That's terrible.
That sucks.
Return
the used car. Can you fix this? It goes back to when you're a kid, Preston, and you have a brand new. It's that same feeling. I told you the story. I think I've told it many times. I've had two traumatic toy stories. One was the Styrofoam Eagle that you all know about. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was the telescope you can see around corners with. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a spy, you can't lean around a corner and look. You've got to use your around-the-corner telescope.
Sure,
I got it, put it up, and it comes with an attachment for your belt. I was out on my bicycle, driving around. I stopped the bike on the corner. The thing just falls off down into the sewer.
Oh,
and I'm like,
no. Oh, no.
How am I going to be a spy?
Kathy, I love your idea of just returning it immediately. Like the guy who broke his iPhone.
Yeah.
He comes and says, I noticed there was a scratch on it. You know, and it just completely shattered.
Listen,
this is brand new. I just noticed something.
If I bought a shirt and it had a hole in it, I'd take it back to the store and say, there's a hole in this. It's broken. I don't want it anymore. So why can't you do the same thing?
We bought this car used, and it was it's a 16-year-old car.
Yeah.
And it tore off somebody's bumper. Can you replace
it? It's defective.
You know what's funny?
This is defective.
It's funny about the windshield because the car that I traded in was a Mini. It was 7 years old, 100,000 miles on it. And just over time, the windshield had become a little fogged or whatever.
Yeah.
And so driving home on Saturday, even though it was snowy out, my girlfriend and I were looking through the front windshield, remarking at how remarkably clear it was. We're looking through the windshield like, you know what? You really see the road now? And everything looks much brighter and clearer. And then Sunday morning, we get up and we're like, it's not so clear anymore.
Things are really changing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Dwayne. Hi, Dwayne. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for bothering me at work.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. What's up, man?
I see. This is a traumatic toy story for you. So, me and my cousin, 10 and 12 years old, come down for Christmas Day. The USS G.I. Joe flagship is there waiting for us under the tree.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Not put together.
Right.
We put it together upstairs under by the tree. Decided we want to go down with the basement with it. We take it down to the basement. My cousin's in front of me. He slips, falls. Mind you, we had those pajama footies on.
Yep.
Why he left his? That's why he lost his footing. So he fell, broke his arm. The USS flag landed on him. I fell behind him. The USS flag skewered my eye.
What?
Oh. My cornea.
Oh my God!
The USS flag busted into 5 million pieces.
His arm's broken. Your eye is scratched, and the toy is destroyed.
Yeah, it was a great Christmas. My dad was ecstatic with joy.
I'm sure.
Oh my God.
The day in the hospital.
The USS. God, did I want that when I was a kid?
Oh my God,
yeah,
Dwayne.
Yeah, it was. I still have a piece of it to mourn it.
Very good.
Memoriam.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in your eye.
Yeah. Hang on to that. Hang on. A couple more calls. I'm going to go to Brendan. Hey, Brendan. Good morning.
Da 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 da. Ah, me.
Yeah. One of my favorites. All right, so something brand new that you broke.
I in junior high school, my parents just got me a brand new custom-made handheld cello, handmade and everything like that. It cost about $3,000. Cellos are very nice, or they're very expensive.
Yeah.
They're pretty nice. And I got tripped. I fell over face first, right onto the floor, snapped in half.
Oh my God.
Got a $3,000 classical musical instrument, tripped, fall, and snapped it in half.
I wish I could have just taken Kathy's idea, just say, hey, I saw a splinter in it.
Yeah. Yeah, this thing's broken.
Yeah. I had to return it.
Brandon, did your parents just have to pay for repairs, or what happened?
Yeah, well, luckily, it was a pretty clean break, so I still have it to this day, but...
It's now two ukuleles.
Right. All right, thanks, Brandon. All right, here's something that happened yesterday. I'm going to go to Dave. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, man?
Well, this is just the universe is making more fun of me.
All right. Fair enough.
So yesterday, went to Costco, bought a brand new 75-inch flat screen, hung it on the wall. Within 30 seconds, fell forward and smashed
completely.
Oh, my God. Let me ask, did you use the mounting kit it came with, or did you just use tape?
No. I probably should have used tape.
Yeah. Oh my God almighty. Well, if it's any consolation, Dave, that happens a lot.
You know,
I would go get the box out of the trash, pack it back up, yeah, take it to Costco.
There's something wrong.
Some of the channels don't. Some of the channels don't work.
That may or may not have happened.
All right, so, oh, so Dave, are you pretty handy, or is this your first time taking on a project of this size?
No, no. I had a friend of mine. He supposedly does this.
Supposedly.
Oh, no.
Your friend supposedly owes you money.
He thought it was in the studs when he screwed the bracket on.
Oh, oh man.
So, Dave, this is yesterday, NFL playoffs. You know, I mean, were you getting ready to watch the games?
Right before the Chiefs kickoff.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Oh, that sucks, Dave.
Well, man. Yeah.
Oh, man.
The only thing that would have made it worse is if the Eagles were playing.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry God. To hear, man. Thanks
I feel
for
his
the call.
Pain. Yeah.
Oh, that just sucks, man. Especially, and here's a cautionary tale. If for something like that, if you are specifically getting a piece of tech like a TV for a viewing event,
yeah,
get it several days before the event. Do not get it.
Don't do that.
The
yes.
day of the yeah. event.
You're insane. Yeah, also, if you're even vague on it, or if your friend says, I've done it once or twice, have someone do it professionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter how good you are, why risk it?
Let me see. Hang on. I don't quite understand this. Let me go to Ashley. Hi, Ashley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Ash?
So I bought a brand new stainless steel fridge. I was adulting. I was very excited about
yeah.
it, showing my friends and everything. and I come home the following day to my boyfriend mounting and balancing his tow truck tires in our kitchen.
He was mounting and balancing his tow truck tires in your kitchen?
He was mounting them, yes, onto the new wheels.
What? That's a huge apparatus. What is it doing in the kitchen?
It was cold outside, so he wanted to do this inside.
Wow, okay.
So, I hope you broke up with him.
So I walk in, he's bouncing up and down on a 4-foot pro bar, or pry bar, trying to mount this wheel and tire, because they're big tires.
In your kitchen.
In the kitchen, and one of them slips and hits our freezer door.
Oh my God.
Stainless steel freezer door. It's not the end of the world. But it was just like one of those, like, are you kidding? Like, you couldn't wait a month to do this?
Okay, so who's going to guess, Delco or Bucksco here?
Oh, no, she's Delco.
No, she's Monco.
Ashley, what county do you live in?
Bucksco, sorry, Cat.
Oh, damn it. Oh, balancing and mounting tires in the kitchen. Wow.
All right, we'll take that.
Thank you, Ashley.
I think...
So it's kind of, yeah.
Yeah. All right, take care.
I think you do that in the library, right?
Right. Yeah. Normally.
Yeah. let me see here. Man, there's some good calls and texts coming in. I love it. Let me go to Eric. Hi, Eric. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Hey, thanks, man. What's up, bud?
All right, so to kind of put this in perspective for you, about 5 years ago, I'm about 22, 23 at the time. And I went out, and I've been working hard since I was 18, and I went and bought a brand new truck. And I, the next day, I had to go in with a friend to do a tree removal job. And so I've been doing this for a while. You know, we start loading up the back of the truck. We get about halfway loaded. And my friend throws a 6-foot log onto the back, which then bounces and goes straight through the back window, shattering it entirely.
Oh.
It even has the truck for 24 hours.
You could have gotten killed by that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It went right through the back window, shattered it. It was halfway through the cab. And to top it off, about 30 minutes later, it starts raining. So I get the car and cover the back of the truck that I had just bought. And, you know, he ended up paying for it, which was, you know, that was all set and good. But it took 2 days to do that. So it was raining the whole time, had a tarp over it. So I had to go to work and do my own thing. But I get a reminder every here and there when I go through the back seat and find a little
right. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Eric. That reminds
yeah, no
me
problem.
when something goes bad and then another thing, it reminds me of the scene from Trading Places where Dan Aykroyd is dressed as Santa Claus. He's wasted. He's had it enough. He takes a gun. He's going to kill himself. Pulls a trigger. Nothing fires. It starts raining. A dog comes over and pisses on his leg. It's just like one thing after another starts to snowball. Oh, my God.
He reminded me of a story, and I'll never forget this. My friend in college, he got a new car. But he wanted to do a presentation. So he had to stand outside. The car was in the garage, and he was going to back it out and show us. But it had a hatchback. And I don't, we didn't know what he was planning the presentation. I mean, like, he's so excited. We see the hatchback up.
Oh, no.
And I guess this is his thing that he's doing.
Oh, no.
And he starts to back out. Oh, hey. And bends the hatchback.
Oh, Jesus.
Because we're like, oh, this is the thing. He's got something planned here.
Right. Oh, that's terrible. I want to go to this because here's another thing. Hey, Mario, good morning.
Hey, you would not believe how hard it is to find some Jewy candies around here.
Oh, Jewy candies. I was trying to say Chewy.
Jewy candies. Where are your Jewish candies?
Mario, what happened to you, man?
All right, so here's the deal. God bless my sister. I hope she's listening. And so I'm about 12 years old. I asked for one of those styrofoam, loop-de-loop planes or they're called. So I get one under the tree. I'm so excited. I take it out to the front yard. I crack open the packaging. I put it together. My sister looks at me, and she's well, I want to try. So be it, a good brother. First pull, I let her do it. I said, you know what? Go ahead. She puts it in her hand. This girl launches this thing as hard as she possibly can. Does a giant loop, but lands straight into the ground. These things are meant to break apart. But it broke in a part that was not meant to be broken.
You didn't even get to use it. She gets the first throw and breaks it.
Not one single throw. I was so disappointed. I was like, can we crazy glue this? Can we something?
Return it.
As a kid, that's the worst because he didn't even get to play with it. He didn't even get the joy of throwing it one time.
Nope. I was very upset.
And somebody else broke it right in front of you.
I can commiserate.
My sister, too. I couldn't even take physical recourse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mario. I got with birthday money. I'd wanted this authentic Hollywood Wolfman mask. This was said in the ad. Rubber mask. I got it to the house. I'm starting to put it on my brother. Oh, can I put that on? Can I see it? Yeah, sure. Why not? Go ahead. Puts it on and... Instead of, you don't position the Wolfman's face by tugging down on his mouth, rips the bottom of the mouth off. And I'm just like, and I swear to God, I black taped it back up. So I had, Wolfman had this cool Indiana Jones black tape scar down his face. Man. But I was like, when you're a kid, you're like, this can't be happening.
I'm gonna go to Courtney. Hi, Courtney. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Courtney?
So I got a great one. I'm a training officer for police officers in Texas.
Okay.
And I had this kid that I was training, and we got brand new patrol cars. So I'm like, okay, you go pick it up. Meet me at the restaurant. We got to eat some lunch, and we'll get out of here. This kid in front of like 30 people at this restaurant backs a brand new patrol car up into a dumpster and shatters a both of the taillights out.
Oh, no. Taxpayers' money right there.
You're going, dear chief, I'm trying to figure out how to word this to him. At the same time, I'm yanking him out of the car going, okay, you look at what you just did. You got to figure out how you're going to apologize to this dumpster. And he goes, what? I said, okay, go hug the dumpster. Tell the dumpster you're sorry. Go hug the patrol car. Tell the patrol car you're sorry. And then figure out how you're going to write your apology letter to the chief. At this point, he's in tears because he's like, I'm going to get fired. I'm like, probably.
Young man.
That's the worst, especially on a job. Well, we just had something happen here, it was a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
they're doing the whole front of the building. A new thing. A new atrium or foyer, whatever you want to call it, is coming in here. And there's these huge sheets of glass, and we look out, and I happen to notice there's a big spider web design on one of the window
panes. It's shattered.
It's still there. They haven't replaced it yet.
They're probably trying to figure out what to do. They should return it.
Yes.
It's brand new.
Put it in the box.
Take the atrium out.
Take it back.
Yeah.
Speaking of returning, let me go to this call here, Kathy. I'm going to go to Dan. Hi, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, bud. What's up?
All right, so I had a TV about a month old, flat screen last year, 55-inch or so. And my little 4-year-old thinks he's Leonardo the Ninja Turtle. throws his sword at my 8-year-old, and my 8-year-old says, "Ha ha," and dodges it. Well, boom, right into the TV, shatters parts of the TV. I'm like, "Oh my lord, it's only a month old." Yep. Well, a buddy of mine's mom works at Walmart. She goes, "You still got the box?" I said, "Yes, I do." She goes, "Put it in the box and return it." I said, "Why? I've already had it a month." She said, "It doesn't matter. You have 90 days to return it."
Oh, okay.
Questions asked?
So I said that I put it in the box, returned it, said it was already broken in the box.
There you go.
Oh, man, I'd be
Kathy's
so
system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's broken.
So, I guess if it comes in a box, maybe you got that advantage, but a month.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we didn't open it. We were saving it for, you know, we brought it home, but we didn't mount it until
they
yesterday.
Have to know. Like, you know what I'm saying? If somebody brings back a TV that's shattered, they've...
Yeah, and it had that cheese doodle dust all over it.
Right. Yeah.
And gum and semen on the remote. Yeah. In the box, yeah.
Hang on, let me go to Matt. Hi, Matt. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good. What's up, bud?
Oh, not much. I had an Apple Watch, and first go around, somehow it cracked and shattered, and I'm a little bit frugal, so I was holding out until finally the face fell off. And my wife, you know, finally buys me a new one because she knows that, you know, I wasn't in a watch guy, but now, like, my wrist feels naked without one, so
right.
She gets me another one. And it was like an Amazon Prime special, so she got it online, not through the Apple Store or anything like that. And to go with it, she gets me this military-grade protection that I'm supposed to put on. But, you know, I got it in the middle of the week, and I'm like, I don't have time for this. I open up the instructions, and it's like a novel.
Right.
So I say, I'll do that. I'll save it for the weekend. It's a special project. Get home. The second day I have it, putting my kids in the bath, take off my watch so I don't want to get it wet or anything like that, put it up on the counter. By the way, it's waterproof. Totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Put it on the counter. On top of the Q-tip holder, bend down on my knees for about 5 seconds until I just hear this crack behind me on the porcelain. My entire body just goes absolutely crazy with this feeling of just regret and remorse and all that at the same time. And then we can't return it because we got it on Amazon, didn't get it through a credit card or the Apple Store. Yeah. And they can't fix the lens. So all in all, it was like the quadruple whammy. And I'm driving to work right now, and every time I look down at my empty wrist, I can't think about anything else.
It taunts you, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, thanks, Matt. I tell you what, just
for a little caveat, Amazon's pretty good with returns.
Are they?
Amazon's great, especially if you're a Prime member.
Yeah, yes, that makes a whole world of difference.
All right, well, Nick got a brand-new car, cracked the windshield in less than 24 hours.
Beautiful car, though.
It is a beautiful car.
I love it, yeah.
But it just, you know.
But it's got to go back.
It's got to go back.
You got to return the whole thing now.
Yeah, trade it in for a flat screen TV?
I hate it. It's
put
just
it in
like,
a box.
You're on a high, you know, it's the honeymoon. And then, you know, the hotel cancels your reservation on your honeymoon. It's that type of thing. It just happens.
The world lets you know you shouldn't have nice things.
Yep. All right, well, listen, we need to take a break. Thanks for your phone calls. We appreciate it. I got some bizarre file stories I cannot wait to share with you, so we will get to those when we get back. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Green Day. Sturgill Simpson. Papa Roach.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
There is a new Daily Rush video available for your consumption, and the title is actually what a caller said earlier this morning, Jewy Center and Bloody Murray. So the description says a series of flubs leads to Preston's new favorite cocktail, the Bloody Murray. And I was trying to say Chewy Center. I don't even remember what exactly we were talking about. And I said Jewy Center. And it led off onto a discussion. Then not long after that, I said a Bloody Murray instead of a Bloody Mary.
It was a whole Hasidic line of Jewish food products that you invented in one day.
You can watch the video now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club Restaurant and Bar. So take a look when you get a chance. All right, we're going to do the B-File. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you this morning by Drexel University. Gain confidence in the online classroom with Drexel University's test drive from February 10th through the 14th. And you'll experience what it's like to study online at Drexel. Sign up today at drexel.edu/test drive. State police say a Pennsylvania woman drove into the path of an oncoming vehicle as a way to test her faith and then exhibited no concern about the people who were injured in the crash.
Huh.
31-year-old Nadasia Riley faces aggravated assault and other charges over allegations she purposely caused the wreck. Police say she told them she'd been driving around for a few hours waiting for a calling from God when she decided to drive through the oncoming traffic. Two people in the
Did she have her Bluetooth hooked up to get that call? Or?
Maybe. I don't. She didn't give the details.
Yeah, this is God.
Two people in the other vehicle were taken to the hospital for treatment of injuries. I don't know.
Other people in the vehicle.
I don't know the severity of the injuries. I don't know.
Yeah.
A deaf man has decided to sue Pornhub and other pornographic websites because he said he cannot enjoy video content without the closed captioning.
You know, I've never even looked to see if there's closed captioning on those porn videos.
Yaroslav
that my friend watches.
Suris, a New York resident, tried to watch videos on Pornhub entitled Hot Step Aunt Babysits Disobedient Nephew.
This would be much better with dialogue.
Sexy Cop Gets Witness to Talk and others.
Yeah.
And he could not due to the website's lack of closed captioning. The lawsuit alleges that Pornhub, RedTube, and YouPorn are in violation of the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act. Part of the ADA's goal is to provide full and equal enjoyment of a public accommodations.
The time has come to allow even those who are deaf to watch movies and spank it with the closed captioning running so they can appreciate what kind of pizza it is, where exactly the nurse is putting her finger. All of these things enhance the sexual experience. Many times it's difficult to get off if you don't know the subtext.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Oh, he stepped in.
And so, yes, they're supposed to provide full and equal enjoyment of public accommodations, goods, services, facilities, and privileges, according to the lawsuit.
That's why at the AVNs, everyone can't wait to see who wins the scriptwriting awards.
The ADA cites that its purpose is to make sure that people with disabilities have the same rights and opportunities as everyone else. Now, Pornhub's vice president, Corey Price, disputed the claim that the website doesn't offer closed captions. He said, while we do not generally comment on active lawsuits, we'd like to take this opportunity to point out that we do have a closed captions category. So there's a whole category for people who have hearing impairments.
Erg, slurp, blip, blip.
Totally. That's what it's got to be. You know?
Swish, swish.
By the way, this guy has previously sued Fox News, the New York Post, and other outlets alleging similar ADA violations on their websites. But now he's going after porn.
I think if there's one category, my friend turns the sound all the way down.
Locking your keys in the car. It's done by all of us at one time or another. But for one Florida father, the urgency to get back in his SUV was all the more dire because his one-year-old daughter was locked inside.
Of course.
Luckily, a group of deputies was nearby, and they enlisted the help of inmates who were able to unlock the door within minutes, and the incident was all caught on camera.
Because they're good at it, right?
Sheriff Chris Noko said, our trustees are people who have made mistakes. We're trying to rehabilitate them to get back into society. So five low-risk offenders who were repairing medians at the time jumped into action. The officer said when somebody had a wire coat hanger, we were able to get the door open enough to get it in there and unlock the door. The unlikely teamwork ended up saving the day. Noko said that the inmate's unique skill set came in handy, and the baby's parents confirmed the child is doing just fine.
So nice.
They had the inmates come over and break into the car for him.
If you guys remember, I locked my keys in the car at the Subaru broadcast, and the apparatus that they used to open the door was wild. They basically stuck like a bladder into like the door
crack and
to
then
separate it
and then pumped it up with air and then so separated it enough so that they could get like you know a little jack in there.
Oh yeah, that was that the Audi.
Yeah,
yeah. That when I drove the Audi and my keys constantly were being locked in the car, they did the exact same thing. I was along Lancaster Ave in Wayne, and they kind of like pumped it up so then they could get the sliver, the little whatever it's called, in there to unlock it. Yeah,
never seen that before.
Yeah,
interesting. A 72-year-old man died from a cardiac arrest when he tried to push his poop out too hard.
Uh-oh. Let this serve as a warning.
I was there earlier this morning, honest.
Yeah. How hard were you pushing?
You know, or it started getting lightheaded.
Do you keep ski poles by the toilet?
I do. Should. Give you that extra grip. The man, surnamed Zhu from China, had pre-existing coronary heart disease and high blood pressure.
Well, he had mitigating circumstances.
Yeah, but they said it was because of this. The incident happened last Tuesday when the old man was suffering from constipation. He had not had any bowel movements for 3 days and decided to go to the bathroom one night. However, while trying to defecate, he suddenly became unconscious and collapsed. And he was then rushed to the hospital and he was pronounced dead. Doctors explained that the man had exerted excessive force while he was defecating, which led to a cardiac arrest leading to his death.
Not to get too disgusting here, but have you ever tried to force so hard that you burst a blood vessel?
No.
I have.
What blood vessel?
Something in my butt.
Really? Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Wow, okay. I thought you were going to say, like, in your eye.
Cut me, Boogie. apparently, you know, that's, you have to watch out. When I had the fainting thing on the show, I was coughing and I had with a basal vagal reaction where you basically give yourself a sleeper hold. Mm-hmm. That happens on straining to defecate.
The doctor said,
enjoy your breakfast.
That when people exert too much pressure while urinating or defecating, the body's internal pressure increases, which disrupts the nerves, causing heart rate and blood pressure to decrease. And this leads to the lack of supply of blood to the heart, which causes cardiac arrest. Pretty wild, man. And then we'll do one more story. Travelers on the Mexico City subway system often blame authorities for broken down escalators at subway stops, but officials have another explanation. It's vast amounts of pee that is the problem.
Oh, my God.
Somehow urine is penetrating and corroding the drive wheels and mechanisms of the escalators that carry riders up from underground stations. The Metro system listed corrosion due to urine as one of the top five causes of escalator breakdowns. Fermin Ramirez, the assistant manager of Rails, said that riders appear to be urinating on escalators at off-peak hours and lightly used stations, even though it seems hard to believe. He said, when we open up the escalators for maintenance, there is always urine. But most stations have no public bathroom facilities, a fact that Twitter users were quick to point out.
So I watched a documentary on what's going on in San Francisco with the homeless population, and they were showing these doors down this alleyway, Preston, where the bottoms of the doors had rotted away from being peed on.
I believe it. That's nasty. And that is what I have in your bizarre file this morning.
Preston, I know you mentioned it earlier this morning, but we were getting a bunch of texts. We are not doing easy money today because of the holiday.
Correct.
And that lasts throughout the day. So just wanted to clarify that in case you didn't hear the message earlier this morning.
Yes, it will return tomorrow morning. So sorry, Nick. I know I mentioned it once. I probably should have hit it a few more times. But throughout the course of the entire day, we're suspending it today, but we will be back at it again tomorrow.
You seems
five
right.
Five chances to win $1,000,
in observance of Martin Luther King Day.
Absolutely, sir. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. Come back in a moment. We got some stuff to pass along to you, so make sure you stay with us through the course of today's program. We shall return shortly.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style.
whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day today, and a lot of people participating in a day of service. Cold day to be participating in a day of service.
But that, to me, shows an extra commitment if
Agreed.
You're outside.
Yeah, if you're going to be doing that, absolutely. And it happens to be outdoor. Not all, you know, days of service are outdoor related, but some are.
It's a little chilly in here today.
We're stepping up.
Oh, absolutely.
And with that, I do have some information, which is pretty cool. But I wanted to play a clip from the famous I Have a Dream speech. It's always...
Always good to hear it.
I still get chills and tears. I get welled up and I get that lump in the throat. The man was just an incredible speaker. Not only did he have amazing things to say, but his delivery, just outstanding.
I remember in college taking, you know, public speaking classes and you know, he was... One we paid close attention to, his ability to convey emotion with the message, unparalleled.
Here's part of that speech.
I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. That my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Pretty awesome words, man.
Words that always need to be remembered.
Yep.
Judged by people by who they are.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Not what they are.
Today, now, I did not know this, that America's national parks do observe Martin Luther King Jr. Day by offering free entrance.
And a bear to everyone.
And a bear.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
If you happen to be in a bear-populated park. No, so it's one of only five free days at national parks this year.
Oh, wow.
And it's 110 different parks, so it's the biggies. It's, you know, Yellowstone and Denali. And
Action.
Action Park.
That's a national park. It's a national park. In fact, that's actually the first one that inspired Teddy Roosevelt to...
It was Action Park.
Do you guys see there's a new national park? It was announced when we were on the holiday break, but White Sands in New Mexico. Yeah.
Is that where Boys to Men did Water Runs Dry?
I have no idea.
I think that's
I've never even heard of that song.
Yeah. There's no way to the world.
Let the Martin Luther King speech continues. He mentions that, Preston.
Oh, he does? Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that. He mentioned the
Boys to Men. Our group.
So,
you remember that song?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. So you think they did the video there?
I think they did.
Just because
White Sands is legendary.
Looks like it, or do you remember hearing that story?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a national monument, I think, before. Now it's going to be an official national park. It's the 62nd. There was one in Indiana last year, Indiana Dunes. So there are 62 now, and I'm in the 20s. I want to get to all 62 before I die.
Wow.
And now there's another one that's been just added.
I have a question about White Sands, and I might be getting the name and the location incorrect. Where was the alternate landing spot for the space shuttle?
I know what you're talking about. That's in the Mojave Desert.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
In California.
It's white something.
I'm sure you're right. But that's in California.
They needed a vast area that they could land for an emergency. They needed
the original
spot
was downtown
land.
Camden.
Oh.
But they thought that might have been too congested.
Yeah.
White Sands, so it's right here. National blah, 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 blah. We're looking through the stuff.
Yeah, I don't. This is just about the park in general.
Right.
So. Is this where the video was filmed, Casey?
Yeah, I was right.
Okay, it features a woman played by Tyra Banks in it.
Ooh!
Well,
that's obviously you'll put it over the top.
Water Runs Dry. Maybe I would remember.
Have you ever been to the White Sands or Bonneville Salt Flats or any of those?
Not.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, there's a lot of nothing, but the amount of nothing is pretty amazing.
Yeah, the vastness of the nothing makes it pretty incredible.
Right. Right.
Okay. No, I've not been there. I've done some very big national parks. I haven't done any kind of tour like Nick has done, but I've done. You know, Yellowstone Grand Canyon Yosemite and Action Park. I've never been to Action Park. That's on the list. Yosemite. I would like to go to Glacier. sometime because I hear that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I did Acadia with the family a few years ago.
I'd like to go there.
I've done Grand Canyon, Zion, Bryce.
And done those.
So those are on my list. Glacier is another one of those that's on my list.
Glacier's this summer for me.
Yeah.
So I'm Kiss on your list?
I was hoping for Glacier to be on my list this year. I'm not sure. I just don't know if I'm going to have the time or not. But what I've noticed about these national parks is that pictures don't do any of it justice.
No. In fact, there was a picture today. I'm having a brain fart. The falls that look like they're on fire. What are they?
Oh, in Yosemite?
Yes, which are glorious.
Is it Angel Falls?
No, it's not called Fire Falls.
But, there's one, week out of the year.
When the sun hits it, and it looks like it's lava coming down. It's just water lit that way. Mm-hmm. What picture could actually convey how amazing that is?
Yeah. By the way, White Sands, was I correct, Nick?
Yeah, it's not I don't think it's the national park, but you might be right.
Alternate landing spot for the space
shuttle. White Sands Test Facility in New Mexico. So, yeah, you were right.
Okay.
Nice. I think that they landed a lot of the time in the Mojave, right, in California, but maybe I'm misremembering.
Yeah, it was an alternate landing spot.
You need a lot of flatness is basically what you need.
Right.
A forest wouldn't work.
What is, in your opinion, the toughest national park to get to?
Well, there are 8 in Alaska alone, and one of them you can't drive to, at least one, maybe two. You have to be dropped off, and they will come pick you up in a week. So
really?
Yeah. So it's one of those places that's so remote, you have to take a prop plane there.
Where is it? Do we know? Because there's actually a tour that Claire and I, my wife, had wanted to do for a long time that sets you – actually, there's a rolling hotel that you stay in that takes you out to the – migratory path of the polar bear population up there.
Oh, wow.
And they actually come and, you know, and you're in that.
Is she going to do it?
Well, we've talked about doing it. You know, I would
that
prefer.
That sounds awesome.
If they had a nightclub, that'd be great. But it does sound cool, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the bear population's just coming through doing what they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, they look at you and say, geez, if only I could get in there, I'd have quite a meal.
Yeah. Alaska's so difficult and remote to get to anyway, Case, that I think that most of those are the challenging ones. There's also one in American Samoa. So you got to go to like Hawaii and then another 4 hours past past Hawaii to get to American Samoa.
American Thin Mint.
So in order for that to count, if you want to get to all of the national parks,
62,
you got to get to that one too.
Yeah, there's one in the Virgin Islands. I've been to that one. I haven't been to Acadia yet. That's definitely on the list.
I've been to all 50 states.
That's good.
So give me the definition of national park because, Valley Forge is a national park.
No, it's a national historical park. So there are designations.
That's the difference.
Yeah, and there are national monuments. There are national landmarks. National car rental. But there are 62 designated national parks, and they are within the national park system. All of them fall under the Department of Interior, and all of them are in the National Park Service. But there are 62 of these that are their designation is national park.
What do you think the smallest one is?
I know exactly what it is.
What is it?
It's the Arch in St. Louis.
So that is a national park. See, I thought, okay, so
it didn't used to be.
So Jefferson Expansion Memorial is the actual name of the of the St. Louis Arch. Yes, so they have a park that's on the grounds of it. And I was told it was a national park, but after you had said National Historic a while back, I was like, okay, well, maybe it's not an actual national park, but I guess that is.
It is now, yeah.
Okay. Well, I've been to that one.
That's good.
They tell you, though, not to feed the bear population there, right?
Yeah, you got to be careful, especially the Kodiaks, because
they come
huge.
Right up to the car.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow, the parks are free today, which, by the way, going into when we went to a Teton last time, I was pulling through the front of the park. I'm like, oh, you have to pay to get in here? And it wasn't cheap either.
No.
It's like $45 or something like that
person. Park passes that exist, and there are a few different variations of it, but I get one every year because if you go to two or three national parks within the year, it pays for itself. So my parents spent a lot of time in Colorado, and I visited Rocky Mountain National Park a few times. Just having that parks pass gets you in and out of the parks.
What grade is it where you get free? Is it seventh graders? If you have a seventh grader, you get free access to the family.
There was a program, and I don't remember, Case, because I think it was 2 grades, actually. I think it was like 7th and 8th. But I know what you're talking about. I don't know the specifics anymore.
There's a similar one for...
What grade are you in? 7th. Get in the car.
I know, but there's a similar thing for ski mountains, right?
Yeah. Skiing in Pennsylvania. They offer
fourth grade?
I think you're right, because we got them.
Mm-hmm.
Free ski passes for kids in fourth grade. Fourth and fifth grade. It's a great idea. Mm-hmm. It's to promote the sport and tourism as well, and local tourism. And you get free lift tickets to any mountain in the state, and the kids can go learn. It's a wonderful program.
What's the next park up on your list, Nick?
So I'm doing Death Valley in April. And
I've been on the periphery. I have not.
Yeah. Well, you never want to go to Death Valley in the summer months. And right. So
you want to go skiing in the winter.
So the rainy season, which is like an inch of rain, is now and February. But so I'm going to do that and then maybe hit the Grand Canyon for a little bit. And then, this summer is going to be Glacier. And, if you're interested in going to Glacier, try to get there sooner rather than later, because the glaciers are actually disappearing. So, it's worth going to see them now.
Yeah.
Joshua Tree National Park?
Yes.
Okay.
That's in California as well.
So today is one of only five free days at national parks this year, which is pretty cool. We don't even talk anymore. Boys to Men.
Yeah.
At White Sands. We don't even know what we are. That sounds pretty familiar. Kath, do you remember this song?
Yes.
They did a parody of them on Schooled. I showed you guys the video. It's called so Boys funny. To Street.
So funny. Hilarious. Yeah, I do remember this. Marissa's singing, too. Wait a minute. She's got to come over here. She's a big Boys to Men fan. Yes, Marissa?
Speaking of which, I'm really pissed off that they wore 49ers jerseys last night during the game.
Did they?
Were they at the game? They sang the national anthem and wore 49ers jerseys.
Well, they kind of have to, right? are they going to wear? Eagle stuff?
No, yeah. they didn't have to wear a jersey.
The biggest talk was Rob Lowe was at the game, and he was wearing an NFL hat, and people were like, Rob Lowe is the kind of guy who will go to a concert and wear a shirt that just says music.
I do like that. Something else I wanted to point out on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, obviously one of the, one of revered Americans and revered African American as well, a hero. And there was another hero I wanted to point out. This is really cool. The fourth Ford class carrier, this is an aircraft carrier, is going to be named in honor of World War II icon Doris Miller, who was the first black recipient of the Navy Cross. And his name is Doris. I never knew that.
Right.
And he was a hero at the Battle of Pearl Harbor, at the invasion. Navy officials confirmed. Now, you'll remember his story, Steve, because Cuba Gooding Jr. portrayed him in the movie Pearl Harbor.
He was, I guess, working in the kitchen?
Yeah, the mess,
Right, and then jumped on a machine gun.
So they named a CVN, the naming of CVN 81, that was officially the title of this craft before they named it, was expected to be announced during a ceremony today in Pearl Harbor by Acting Navy Secretary Thomas Modley. Miller was widely recognized as one of the first U.S. heroes of World War II.
Because it stands to reason.
Started. And his legacy has been a touchstone for African-American sailors in the service. Here's what happened during the Japanese Navy attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941. Then mess attendant Third Class Miller took charge of an anti-aircraft battery. On the USS West Virginia, firing on enemy aircraft until running out of ammunition. According to him, Miller recalled after the battle, he said, "It wasn't hard. I just pulled the trigger and she worked just fine." He said, "I guess I fired her for about 15 minutes and I think I got one of those planes. They were diving pretty close to us." Then, and this was another thing that was depicted in the movie, and I wasn't sure if they had just kind of fluffed it up a little bit for the role, but he assisted the battleship's commander and several others off of the ship before it sank. And in fact, for his actions, he received the Navy Cross in 1942, presented by Fleet Adam Chester Nimitz on the deck of the USS Enterprise. And also they said in the presentation, a citation read, while at the side of his captain on the bridge, Miller, despite enemy strafing and bombing and in the face of serious fire, assisted in moving his captain, who had been mortally wounded, to a place of greater safety, and later manned and operated a machine gun directed at enemy Japanese attacking aircraft until ordered to leave the bridge. He got the captain out of there.
Yeah, just amazing.
You know, here's a dude that works in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Jumping up and stepping up and taking over where he needed to. A sad point of this, though, he continued to serve in the Navy until 1943, and he was killed, I didn't know this, by a Japanese torpedo attack on an escort carrier, the USS Liscombe Bay. Naming an aircraft carrier for an enlisted sailor is a break from the naming trends of the past several decades. So he's getting a carrier named after him. That's pretty damn awesome.
It absolutely is. The fatality rate, or the your odds of surviving if you were a submariner in World War II was very, very nominal. They had a high degree of death. My father-in-law, who passed away many, many years after, thankfully, was a submariner, and it's a wild, wild thing.
It's hard to believe, but next year will mark the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
Oh my God! Impressive the amount of people, the amount of legendary, heroic stories that were generated from that one attack. We had a guy who came on board the ship when we were on the John C. Stennis, the aircraft carrier. And he was a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. And that was pretty wild when everything came to a stop.
They rang a bell and they made an announcement. It was a Medal of Honor winner on board, you know, something along those lines. We were like, whoa, man, it was pretty, pretty damn impressive.
And he could not stop talking about this Boys to Men video that he...
Oh, it was just, you know, why not? Beautiful song. The head of the Doris Miller Memorial in Waco, Texas, said without him really knowing, he actually was a part of the civil rights movement because he changed the thinking in the Navy about, black soldiers and black military. And so he was just doing his, he's just doing his duty.
Stepped up. Did what he had to do.
Pretty amazing.
Amazing story.
Pretty amazing. I wanted to touch on one other thing about this day. In particular, January 20th, it is known as Blue Monday.
Yes.
Allegedly, the most depressing day of the year.
Yep.
That's subjective.
This has been a thing for the past couple of years, and they cite this day. And what is the confluence of events that leads it to be perceived as the most depressing day of the year?
So the third Monday in January each year. So it doesn't always fall on the 20th. It doesn't always fall on this exact date. It's just the third Monday in January of each year. So this was first referenced in a press release by a group called Sky Travel in 2005. It's a company wanted to calculate when people tend to book their holidays. So they commissioned a British psychologist, a guy named Dr. Cliff Arnall.
All right, I'll see what I can find.
To create a formula to do just that and find out when the most the most depressing day of the year is, so people tend to book their holidays.
So he took the advance they gave him, spent it on hookers, and a day before the thing.
It's the third Monday in every January.
Arnall claimed that his formula, which supposedly pinpointed the most depressing time of the year, could predict, excuse me, when people would book trips to sunny, happy holiday destinations.
All right.
Which is funny because we were making vacation plans over the weekend. His theory took into account seasonal weather, the time that it elapsed since Christmas, levels of personal debt, and monthly income. Adding all those factors together, Arnall had argued that the third Monday in January was the most depressing day of the year, and therefore the day when high numbers of people would book their tropical escapes.
So up on the screen here in the studio, Preston, is an actual formula.
Yeah, I've got the rundown of the parameters of this. In 2007, he also claimed that he'd used his formula to pinpoint the happiest day of the year, which he said usually falls around June 20th. That's a good time of year.
It's near my birthday.
So the equation contains seven variables, including weather, debt, monthly salary, time since Christmas, time since failed quit attempt, low motivational levels, and the need to take action. So by assessing these variables, a numerical value, or assigning them a numerical value, Arnall claimed that he pinpointed the third Monday in January as the most depressing day in the calendar. Unfortunately for him, though, his formula has been debunked by fellow psychologists.
He's poppycock.
And roundly mocked by many in the scientific community. They pointed out...
What a jerk off.
that with no explanation as to how the formula assigns numerical values to factors like weather, his prediction is meaningless.
Right, because weather is a variable.
Exactly, yeah. So,
he's a creep.
Despite widespread criticism of the Blue Monday concept, the term has stayed in popular imagination years after his initial announcement. There's no question that January is kind of a pain in the ass. I think February gets even more so because by mid-February, I've had it. I've had it with the weather. I'm done.
Cabin fever months is what you referred to as. Which person in the hierarchy of British scientific community came up with Steak and BJ Day?
I don't remember who it was. I don't remember who
Lord Schlongmore. I think I tend to get more depressed. Well, I'm still feeling the glow of the holidays and all that stuff, and I'm not a depressed sort of person, but in the throes of cabin fever in February, in March, that's when it starts to take its toll, and you're just biting at the bit to go outside in shorts.
Plus, this January hasn't been so bad.
It has not been. I was actually in shorts and a T-shirt about a week and a half ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Does anybody have Christmas decorations still up?
I do.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Most of them are down, but I take them. I don't put the pressure on myself because I put up so much to get them all down.
I just have some lights outside. That's it.
I don't have them
on,
okay.
Not much.
I was in two people's homes over the past two weekends, and they both had their Christmas tree still up. And I was like, oh, thank God. Mine are still up.
This weekend, we did a massive purge of. So we have a whole Christmas section in the unfinished side of our basement of where you stash the stuff the 11 months out of the year.
Yep.
And so I was like, I told Rochelle before we put all the stuff away, we had just kind of set it, the stuff that we were going to put back in there away, and we set it aside. And I said, look at all this other stuff we have there, all the stuff we didn't use this year.
Yeah.
I'm like, can we please, pretty please, go through all that and get rid of it. Stuff that we don't need?
Yeah.
So we did that this weekend. Oh, thank God. Oh,
my God. For some reason, it makes you feel so good.
You feel so good. Yeah. So not only did we put our stuff away, we really did the number on it. So. Hopefully you've gotten to it yet. In fact, I think it was last week, or maybe it was even the week before that where I said, you should have your stuff put away by now, according to the quote-unquote
Yeah, that
rules.
Ain't going
to
happen.
Man, we'll see.
By the end of January, in about another week and a half, it'll all be gone.
But if this is your Blue Monday, as you know, per that that study, and you are planning your trips right now, maybe for a vacation down the road, maybe you want to consider the shortest commercial flight in the world.
Really?
Yes. How long would you guys think the shortest commercial flight in the world is?
I'm going to say, because I've been on some super short ones, 20 minutes. I'm going to say 6 minutes.
Okay. Anybody else?
That's probably a good guess. The shortest one I ever did was Philly to JFK, and it was part of an international flight. So we started in Philly, went to JFK, picked up a whole bunch more people, and then went from JFK on.
And how long was that?
That was like 20.
Yeah, I've done that flight before. Yeah.
Well, is that like okay?
They show a movie.
Is that a flight where you can actually fly and get out of the plane?
You have to.
You can actually sit on the wings.
What I mean is,
took a prop plane from here to JFK,
okay,
and then we got on the jet and went overseas.
Okay.
Why?
No, I was just wondering if like people actually can fly from Philadelphia to JFK and then get out and go about their day.
Like a commuter.
Oh, you mean just to go to New York?
Oh, I see.
I'm sure you probably could.
Yes.
We stayed on the same plane. It was a 747. Most of the passengers they picked up were in New York, but that was just our flight.
That's what Annabelle does. Yes. Anybody else? Shortest flight?
I have no guess.
All right. No guess.
I think it's got to be about, because by the time you take off and you land, like, I'm going to say 15 minutes.
Okay. Shortest flight in the world is 90 seconds.
Come on. Stop it.
How?
Tucked away in the Northern Isles of Scotland. Scottish regional airline Loganair operates the 1.7-mile flight between islands Westray and Papa Westray. While the flight is scheduled for 90 seconds, typically it runs closer to 60 seconds.
Oh, there you go. With the trade winds.
So I guess it's either that or a ferry, or maybe they don't have a ferry on that particular side of the island.
You can't, like, how high is the plane getting?
It's essentially, you know, for the people who live there, but it's a legitimate flight that is necessary. They carry teachers and students and visiting.
In 10 seconds, we're going to turn off the seatbelt sign. Yeah, yeah. Then in 15 seconds after that, I'll put it back on, ask you to return to your seat.
Tourists and...
Welcome aboard Flight 414. Thank you for flying Flight 414.
And island residents traveling to and from mainland Orkney... for a range of appointments.
Stewardess is going to turn on the holes and begin in-flight beverage service.
Open your mouth.
If I regularly did that flight, I would have to try and hold my breath for the duration.
Yeah,
see
so if you can
flight.
Make it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like whenever I go through the Lehigh Tunnel, I'm like, all right, I can hold my breath.
You know what? Next time you do that, sing the last line of Happy Birthday and see if you can hold it the whole way through.
Now, how high do you go? How high does the flight go? It
doesn't give the details.
Because you can't join the Mile High Club, right?
No, you'd be like the 100-yard club.
Yeah.
It's 60 seconds, so.
Sometimes where they're at, like, for example, the flight from Seattle to Spokane. Which I did a couple times, is super short. So one of the most terrifying flights I've ever been on was one of those flights. It was a puddle jumper through a lightning storm.
Yee-hoo. So the shortest commercial flight in the U.S. is 16 minutes, and it's United via SkyWest. It allows passengers to fly from San Francisco to Santa Rosa in Sonoma County. That's the shortest flight.
Is there a flight that is technically you getting on one side of the plane and just immediately disembarking on the other side of the plane?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, the shortest flight I ever went on was from Philly to Boston, and we did that also with Nick. We should do something like that again.
Want to.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Right. It was how long did it take? An hour and 10 minutes?
No, 45 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we started the show here. I went to the airport, got on a plane, went to Boston, flew back to Philly, then made it back here by the end of the show.
Yeah. That was fun. And and you got a police escort on the way back.
I don't think I would have made it back had it not been for the police escort. So thank you to our Philadelphia police for being awesome.
So where's our next location to try to get to?
All right. So
within the show,
Pittsburgh is one.
Yeah.
I think Charlotte was one of the options because people, it's not that much longer than a flight to Boston. And I'm pretty sure American flies direct from Philly to Charlotte.
There's a hub there, right?
And there's a hub
in Charlotte. Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of flights out of there.
Pittsburgh could be done. You're right. Pittsburgh is about, what, a five-hour drive, something like that?
Yeah,
four
and I and think
half,
so.
Five, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so it's closer than Boston.
I'd love to go to a place where there are a lot of President's Team
palm
listeners.
Trees.
Where a lot of what?
Palm trees. I'm kidding.
Oh,
no.
No, where listeners could greet
us.
Because when we did the Boston one, there was, you know, 8 or 9 people that showed up, which was cool.
It was still cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, wasn't that we went there because the company that owned us at the time, right? That's where they were headquartered.
That was the home office.
Should we try to get to Naples and then back?
I think so, because we expected a big greeting from our own company up in Boston, and that didn't happen.
And we used to have our old company had its own corporate aircraft.
Yeah, I think that's what
that would fly down to North Carolina all the time, right? Yeah.
I think we originally wanted to do that, and they were like, no.
How long a flight to Miami?
That's like 3 hours.
3 hours.
It's got to be about that.
Right, if we just did a 6-hour show.
Yeah.
Well, we do a 5.5-hour show.
Wait, Nick, did you get something while you were there?
I brought calendars. We did a calendar raid, and so I think the thing that I'm carrying is that. And then there was Sam Adams? Somebody from Sam Adams showed up and brought us beer in the terminal. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a ton of fun. We flew right over New York. You could see, you know, you look out the window because, Steve, to your point earlier, you're not getting that high up. So you had good views all up the eastern seaboard. It was a beautiful day. It was crystal clear. And, I guess case of like just under an hour was what the flight was.
I tell you, one of the coolest flights I took was from here. And I forgot what my destination was. I was headed out west. And we took a route I had never flown before. And I didn't know which part of the country we were going. I just knew we were headed west. But they took us on a northern flight, and we flew by the Great Lakes. I'd never seen the Great Lakes from the sky.
That's a wild flight,
awesome.
Could you see Chicago?
I'm like looking out going, there's no ocean around here. What is this? And I saw Detroit. I could clearly pick out what these cities were just because of their position on the water.
And they're written in big letters. Detroit.
That was pretty awesome. So there are some cool flights that you can take, obviously. It's some shorter, some longer.
All right. We'll have to pick our next location.
Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Charlotte.
All reachable.
Do you know what I'd
Nashville?
Want to, so quickly, what I think we should do is if we can pick some sort of food item or something, we'd want him to transport back. Yeah. If he could bring it back.
Do a swap.
Right.
That's bring a great
some,
idea.
Bring some pretzels or a
it has to be something they can
like
get
that.
On a plane, though.
I like it.
In your
like
in it. Your carry-on. So yeah. I'm assuming, you know.
Go to Maine, get some lobster.
2 ounces of 2 ounces of soup.
What was it, the caller earlier? Meatloaf.
I'll get yeah. some 2 ounces of meatloaf.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. All right. Well, listen, quickly, before we break, I want to say congratulations to a friend of ours. You hear him, we call him Dave Balsacki.
Yeah!
His real name is Dave Nabalski, and he works for Live Nation, and he and his wife, they welcomed a new baby into the world. Born yesterday, Case?
Actually, Saturday. Yes, Saturday.
All right.
Saturday?
So we welcome Jerome Bradley Nabalski, or Jerome Bradley Balsacki. and 7 pounds, 4 ounces, 21 inches long. So congratulations to Dave and Ashley. We're very happy for you guys.
Wonderful people. Absolutely. Wonderful people.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Ah, springtime is in the air early. As we fantasize of riffs and rock outdoors on the lawn. Get set for MMRBQ 2020. Saturday, May 16th at BB&T Pavilion. Oh,
wow. Disturbed. Show you the
Royal Blood. I only love
when I love you. The Pretty Reckless.
Sublime with Rome. I don't practice Santeria. The best value in rock. 9 bands for just $50. Also appearing.
Puddle of Mud.
Crowbot.
Dirty Honey.
Mongolian Metalheads, The Who.
And Jackson's Local Shots opener, Foxtrot and The Get Down.
Saturday, May 16th, BB&T Pavilion. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Mentioned the MMRBQ and looking forward to that. I had a rock-filled weekend.
Rock!
Personally, it was loads of rock.
Rock!
My band Saint, we played the Trap Tavern on Friday night, and our guitarist Mark had pointed out something I didn't realize until he had said it, but he's like, you're running on 24 hours, Press, because by the time we packed up all our equipment and stuff, it was, you know, 2 a.m., and I'm like, yeah, I got up at four o'clock this morning to go to work, and here I am at 2 a.m. finishing the day up.
I've had a few of those. We all have. But you stay in it for the chicks.
It was packed with chicks, man.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's so cool.
The place was mobbed. I just got a comment on Instagram of a gal who used to work at the Trap. She came out to, she said that I couldn't get anywhere near the stage. She said it was so packed.
Wow.
And I used to work there. I even tried going through the kitchen to get around that way and couldn't get anywhere near you guys.
No kidding.
It was mobbed.
Where'd you guys play?
It's just in a corner. They don't have a stage.
No, so you walk flat in the doors and it's like straight to the back?
I came in through the back. So, yeah, I guess okay. So. Straight towards the back. Because you went to our sinus.
I went to our sinus.
You know the Trap Tavern
but
well.
But it's changed. The
it's
footprint
called
is
the corner at the Trap Case.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But we had a great time, and there was a guy who, in the second set, I looked up, and he made it to the very, very front, and he had a sign that said, I drove 2 hours to come see Preston.
Aww, no way.
And then his hashtag, he put a hashtag on the sign that said, hashtag my Jonas Brothers.
Where did he come from? Do you recall?
He came from Bloomsburg.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I after the song was over that we were playing when he was holding up the sign, I'm like, get up here, dude. And I had to give him a big bear hug on stage. But I was talking to him and his fiance. They were a lot of fun. I wish I'd written down their names because I do not remember them.
Yeah.
But they were they were very, very cool. And a lot of listeners of WMMR and the Preston and Steve Show came
out.
So
cool.
It was a lot of fun. And I did a little special drum solo with a nod to Neil Peart.
Did the crowd react? Did
yeah,
they know?
Yeah.
You had a lot of Neil Peart fans, I'm sure, in the group, in the audience.
Yeah, we did. So I added some cowbell.
Yeah, more cowbell.
To my drum solo. I added a lot of cowbell to it because there's a part in the YYZ solo where Neil does this little thing, and some of his solos throughout the years where he does this little thing on the cowbells, and it became pretty synonymous with one of his drum solos. And I did that. I didn't pull it off exactly the way I wanted it to, but it was close enough. And It was a lot of fun. And then we played Limelight, and there's a section that comes out of the solo back into the regular, you know, the chorus of the song.
Right.
And it's an odd time signature. It's very hard to get it just right. And every time we get it right, we're pretty damn satisfied with ourselves.
Yeah.
And we nailed it.
Nailed it.
So I was really happy that we pulled off the Rush properly on Friday night. So thanks to everybody that came out. Next gig's going to be in Delco.
I know. That's what I'm going to. JT Brewski's, right?
Brewski's, yeah.
Okay. Ooh, are you scared?
No, I'm not scared.
Should be.
I probably should be. But I don't know the date. I'll get it eventually and pass that information.
Right there on Oak Avenue, Preston, just a couple of doors down from the first place I ever bought a keg.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a plaque there.
Yeah. There is a plaque.
Casey bought his first keg here.
Bought a keg of Molson Golden on my 21st birthday.
But Molson Golden.
I don't know. It seemed like good beer.
Sure, why not?
Better than Natty Light, yeah. Right?
Did you get lit?
Yes, I did.
It was good beer.
Not a party bowl? You got a keg?
No, I got a keg. It was okay. My birthday.
Nice. Like a whole half keg? Like a half barrel?
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Yeah. Well, nice. I had, a couple of friends over.
I can imagine.
Unexpected guest drop by.
We're gonna be playing Brewskis. I'll let you know the date on that in the near future. But the other rock thing I did, this is my first time doing this. So a friend of mine, Jim, his son attends the School of Rock of the Main Line.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've known about School of Rock for years, and we've had him by here in the studio. Some of the students come by and play. Well, apparently what they do regularly is they have concerts. So these kids jam together. They work on songs. The instructors give them a theme of sorts to work on. And then they have a concert. And I think they do it like a couple times a month. I mean, like they have other ones coming
up. That many times.
I was so impressed with these kids. Ran the gamut of ages. I mean, the youngest kid, the guitar, he had a Gibson SG. I don't think it was a real one. I think it was like a knockoff. But anyhow, it looked gigantic on him. He was tiny. But there he was up there playing. So the theme of this one was Black Sabbath.
No kidding.
It was 2 hours and 20 minutes of nothing but Black Sabbath. And so the next one I think they're doing is the Grateful Dead. So they go all over the place. And there's one that's going to be like Riot Girls, and another one's like a punk thing. So they go all over the spectrum of rock.
How did they do?
They did great.
Yeah.
It was so cool and impressive and fun. And my friend Jim's son, Aiden, plays guitar. And once you're a senior in high school, you essentially age out and you can't be a student here anymore.
Like Menudo.
So this is his last year performing with him. So I was glad to get to go and see him play. But he played guitar and bass and keyboards. He's a multi-instrumentalist and stuff.
2.5 hour show is pretty
It was pretty chunky.
Duty. Yeah.
It was pretty long. But I was so tired because I had the gig the night before. But they were really entertaining. And it was so cool just to see these kids and what schools like this do. Because there's another school that my kids went to, which is called Rock and Roll After School, and that's kind of in the Collegeville area. But they get kids to play together. They don't just show you, you know, how to play an instrument.
Right.
They teach you that if you want, and then they say, okay, we're going to put you in these groups and have you work on music together, because eventually that's what it comes down to. You as a musician need to be able to relate with other musicians playing other instruments and to have a synergy there. And so it was so cool. It was fun. And they were going deep on Sabbath. They were playing some stuff I had never heard of. And I was like a mid Sabbath fan, but I had friends who were diehard who would have loved this.
That's wild that they go from Sabbath to the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
And they're jumping all around.
Yeah.
And so how many people attended?
There was probably, I don't know, 40, 30 people in the audience.
That's pretty cool.
Mainly, you know, the parents of the kids.
Right, right.
But everybody, every single song was a new group of kids. Like, they cycled in and out.
I didn't know that. Right. Okay.
So it's like one kid would play a bass on one song, then leave. And then 3 songs later, he'd come up and play guitar. The girls were playing guitar and bass, and there weren't any female drummers. That was the one thing. I would have liked seeing some female drummers. But, they cycled through, like, 6 different drummers, and it was, Jim was kind of apologizing to me. He's like, thanks for coming. I'm sorry it's so long. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm actually really digging this.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
I thought it was so neat to see kids of that age, and especially diving deep into this music that they've probably never heard before.
No.
And gaining an appreciation for it.
Honestly, we've been blown away. You talk about the times they've come in here and been a part of anything that we had going on. We're always amazed at how good they are.
What was the age group, Preston? I think you said, but I missed it.
You know what? I'm all the way up to seniors.
Okay.
So, you know, 17, 18, 19. But the youngest kid looked about...
Preemie?
12, not a preemie. Oh, no, okay. They were definitely the weight was good. It was safe. 11, 12 years old, something like that.
I'm curious if you're a 12-year-old a senior in high school as to, like, which quote-unquote classic rock band is the coolest right now. Because it goes in waves, and last year Queen made a major resurgence because of the Bohemian Rhapsody movie.
Zeppelin is always a go-to.
But lately I've heard a lot of Ozzy and a lot of Black Sabbath, and I don't know exactly what's led to that.
Okay.
There's certain things... Obviously, Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie, certainly fueled a lot of the Queen adoration. But it was there before.
Some of the kids were dressing the part, acting like Ozzy, and doing stuff like that, and wearing, black circles around their eyes and stuff. And
snorting crushed up sweet tarts?
I didn't notice of that, but it was cool. But that's a good question. Queen definitely hit a high within the past year or so. Like you said, Zeppelin's always up there.
I wonder if the Who, maybe there's
I don't know.
Pink Floyd.
For a long time, when you go to a Petty show, it was all age groups at Tom Petty, So it was kids and preteens even, all the way up to people who've been listening and enjoying Petty their whole lives. So, some of these bands you can still go see. And I went to see The Who at the ballpark last summer, and there were a lot of people of all different age groups, but it was a ballpark show too.
Yeah.
So there was, the capacity was such that a lot of people could come.
Yeah. So it was cool. I just wanted to mention that.
I think
it's a great program.
And where is it again? Where they have these shows?
It was School of Rock of the Main Line. There were a few different School of Rocks. So this was in Wayne.
Okay.
I think where it was. So it was just cool, and it gave me hope. For the music of rock.
You said afterwards you drove over to some house and smashed a windshield, right?
I was so fired up that I did that, no. But it was nice to see that kids were doing that. Now, this is not so nice to see, but Casey brought me up to speed on this. The Ritz at the Boers is shutting down.
Huh.
Yeah, it says here, this was an article by Gary Thompson. It says that's a wrap. Center City Art House Theater Ritz at the Boers to close by the end of January.
Huh. I've seen a lot of movies there.
I've seen a fair amount of flicks there. Absolutely.
We saw The Dark Knight there.
Did we see The Dark Knight?
Yeah, I think we saw it there, yeah.
I definitely saw the Hunger Games there.
Yeah.
And I saw one of the Star Wars movies there.
I can't remember which ones I've seen there, but I've seen a bunch there. It just seems like such a specific spot.
Yeah.
I don't know what it could end up being if it's not a movie theater.
Yeah, that's true. It's in a weird little spot.
Yeah.
You got to go out of your way to get over to it.
Yep.
Maybe that's why they're closing.
Yeah, it could be the issue.
Yeah. They're going to shut down
There is parking near there. It's not like, I think the toughest place to park is the Ritz 5. That's like right on the cobblestone area.
You're out on the street, yeah.
That one you kind of have to, either get lucky by, getting there early enough, or park a few blocks away or whatever. Ritz East is, I think, a little bit easier to park for.
Is that second Ritz East?
Ritz East is like front.
Yeah, it's around the corner from the Ritz 5.
Ritz
right?
5 is second.
Yeah.
I'd say that shut down.
Yeah, it was like when not as big, but when the truck shut down, I'm like, really?
You hate to see anything like this go away. It's been a part of so many good experiences.
Yeah, that's too bad.
That's where we made out. Yeah, in the dark. It was awesome. It was beautiful.
I got caught up in the moment.
Wait for the lights to go down.
There's a sporting goods store in Wayne called Wayne Sporting Goods, and it's been around for 55, 60 years, and they just announced last week that they're closing.
Oh, man.
It's family-owned and operated. The guy that's been running it for the last however long number of decades got it from his father. And it's just like it's a family-run place, but it's difficult for a town sporting goods store to compete with the big box stores.
Yeah,
or online shopping.
Yeah, I used to get all of my sneakers at Austin's, and Austin Sporting Goods is not like it's like a butcher shop or somewhere. It's like a hoagie shop.
They still sell sneakers?
They don't. But there's a funny video making the rounds on Facebook. It's good for it's a Delco video, but I think it really it's good for any area. But it's Delco, people in Delco will give directions according to places that used to be there,
right?
Yep. So it's like the first direction is like, all right, I'll meet you at the Dunkin' Donuts. Just go down the Blue Route, and you're going to turn left at Heckinger's, right? And like Heckinger's hasn't been there for like 20 years or so. Do you guys even know what Heckinger's is?
No, but I've heard the name.
Yeah, it's like a hardware store. Okay. It's like a Home Depot.
Yeah.
My dad does that when giving directions. He'll talk about places that haven't been around for 30 or 40 years.
All right, you can go down and make a left at the Colossus of Rhodes.
Right? Yeah. But it's kind of endearing. He's like, it was there 30 years ago. I got a sandwich there. It was good. And you're like, what? Okay, that doesn't help me now, but, you know, in his mind, that's how do you get to the place.
You make a left, and then you're at Pangaea.
Yeah. Well, people still say the Bazaar, and the Bazaar has not been there forever. The Bazaar is now a Home Depot and a Acme, and, I mean, the movie theater there is not even a movie theater anymore. It's a Model Sporting Goods.
Huh.
Well, yeah, it's the way it goes, but there's such a permanent part of your memory. And to have them go away is sad. And also, are they going to open up another theater to replace it somewhere within the city proper, or is that it?
I didn't read the article. I don't know. I just know the Ritz is
that's all you need to know.
Did it say something about there being a...
Walter Cronkite never read the full story.
No.
I don't know why.
That's the way it is.
I just said that. Shut up.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if there was some sort of restaurant theater going on.
Mm.
You mean like a movie tavern?
Yeah. Do you guys do movie tavern a lot?
Yeah. Fair amount. Yeah.
Okay.
I never have.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just bring ribs in my
pocket.
Wait a
minute. You food and movies?
I did one. It's not movie tavern, but there's a place down on... Painter's Crossing. If you go down, you'll pass the Heckinger's on your left. Right?
Well, the AMC in Plymouth Meeting has the movie tavern style. So it's big seats and service.
Yeah, I have a hard time
Not they don't come serve you inside the theater.
They don't?
Uh-huh. No.
There was buttons on the seats. I went and saw Star Wars.
Those are ejected seats.
To recline.
No, that's recline.
Those actually eject you out to the restaurant you want to go to.
There's one in Flower Town.
Hold on, Nick. Do they have a table?
Yeah.
They have a table for you?
I think so.
Where? No. Christ. Where did you say?
The AMC in Plymouth Meeting.
No, they don't.
Okay. I thought they did.
They very well might.
No, I was there. The last movie I saw, I think it was Spider-Man Homecoming. It would have been a little while ago, but they didn't come in. Now they have a bar.
They sell beer.
Yeah, you can get
booze.
Maybe
that's what I was thinking.
That's what you were thinking. Okay.
So they're not coming to the movie tavern. There's a wait staff that comes throughout the movie and serves you, correct?
Yes.
Is it distracting, though?
No.
No?
I don't think so. I mean, you know what to expect. I mean, that's what you're getting. And they're not zipping in and out during the whole movie. Once the bulk of the movie starts, one or two people might order something.
Right.
And so there's not constantly wait staff coming in and out. There's a lull where there's not much going on. Then shortly before the movie ends, you guys probably hate this, that's when they start bringing your bill, you know, so you might want to...
So they kind of get, most people get their orders in before the movie starts.
Yeah, it's definitely recommended to get there, you know, I'd get there 30 minutes before the movie starts.
Yeah. I'm such a lunatic, I'd be distracted, yeah, so I don't, but it's, but people who go and I love it, so more power to you, and anything that gets people back into the theaters is cool.
I know you like getting to movies and places ahead of time. I like to get there just as the movie is starting. It doesn't give
You always, all our screenings, you're always late.
I'm right on time. I walk in just as the movie's about to start.
Don't you get
for
nervous?
Me, that's late. If
no.
You have to be there. I like to sit there for an hour before, nervously trying to will people to not sit near me, and then the movie starts.
All right, hold on. Somebody texts in, says Plymouth Meeting serves you in theater.
I didn't order service, but I thought I saw people coming in and serving, but...
Wait,
you
which
guys
one?
Why don't you check it online? They would probably mention if they do or don't.
The one by the mall?
One by the Lego store in the mall or whatever. And
that's an AMC.
I was just there. Nobody served anything to me.
Benihana? Well, maybe you didn't order anything.
But how would I order anything?
How come they're not just randomly bringing me the food?
The button!
No.
It's
the button!
There's a button!
There's not.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not. Then it has
I
to
don't
be
understand.
Certain
I've
theaters.
Been sitting here for 10 minutes. Nobody just randomly brought me food.
Then it must not be all theaters.
So the seats that we sat in were like movie tavern style seats. They were huge and comfortable.
Yeah, me
and
too.
There were buttons on either side and cup holders. And
mm-hmm. So what are the buttons for?
Buttons for calling in the server.
No, reclining the chair.
We're going to need an official.
Yeah.
Someone is going to need to call us and tell us that they actually had food served to them
at
the Plymouth Meeting AMC.
You know why I know? Because that damn concession stand line is the longest movie line I've ever had to wait in.
Plymouth Meeting?
Plymouth Meeting.
AMC?
It's always so long, and I don't know if it's because they don't move quickly or is it just because it takes forever. I don't know, but I mean, I've been to bigger theaters, and that line... at Plymouth Meeting is always so long, it takes forever.
Last couple movies I've seen there, I don't want to beat up on businesses, but there were talkers in the theater, and I'm like, okay, I'll find somewhere else to go see a movie.
No kidding.
Oh, so you won't go there anymore?
Well, if I really need to, I will, because the seats are great.
Yeah.
Beautiful theater and everything. But I just there were a couple times where I got talkers and I'm like,
I freak out.
I can't deal with this.
Those reserved seats, those bigger reclining seats, has made movie going so much
That's
more enjoyable.
The one thing I love about is that you reserve your seats.
Yes.
When you go,
then I can do the Casey. Mm-hmm. I'll stroll in 5 minutes before the movie starts.
When you reserve your big luxurious seat, though, you can't. How far is the spacing between you and people around you who are potential talkers?
A lot. I mean, yeah, there's really spread out. Yeah, still next to you.
Can you hit them?
No. You're at arm's length? No, probably. Okay. You'd have to stand on your seat.
I thought you were going to fist bump.
Stay right there. I was trying to say Casey and I are about the distance apart. I went like this. Casey thought I was going to fist bump.
I took Seamus to see Star Wars over the Christmas break, and there were kids sitting in front of us, and they were, you know, high schoolish, and they were talking during the previews, and Seamus looked at me, and I looked at him like, and I was thinking, okay, I'll give you the previews.
Right.
But when this movie starts, if you're Jokey the Clown, I'm going to do something about this.
And?
Yeah, and thank God they shut up.
All right, that's it.
Yeah. And then also, when I went and saw Rambo Last Blood, Steve, I had reserved seats, and there was a guy sitting in my seat. I'm like...
No, not in a Rambo movie, too, where you're ready to start taking revenge.
Okay, exactly. Here's what happened to us one time. So we went to the UA King of Prussia. I forgot what movie to see. It was an important one. It was one I really wanted to see, and it was the IMAX theater. And I show up. People are sitting in my seat. Those are reserved seats. And I'm like,
no.
And I'm sitting there. I'm showing my ticket. I'm like, you guys are in my seat. And they whip out their tickets, and they're like, no, these are our seats. And I'm like, well, let's go see the manager, shall we?
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
I had ordered my tickets for the wrong day.
Yes.
That sucks when you make the scene and you're the one.
I was the one.
Yeah.
But the manager was very, very cool, and it was a Marvel movie.
You can never come back to this theater again.
I don't remember which one, but he's like, don't worry. Happens all the time. We'll take care of this. They found seats for us, and we stayed for the movie.
Oh,
just they weren't the seats that I wanted.
Did you send over a complimentary bottle of champagne to the
people? I should have. To the people? Sorry about the inconvenience.
Well, I did that for the fish concert this summer. I thought I was in my right seats, and I wasn't.
And when's the movie starting?
And I told the guy to move over, and he did. And he was kind of a jerk the entire concert. And the very next day... I was at the concert and he sat behind me and he gave me some crap. And then it wasn't until right then and there that I discovered that I was in the wrong seats the whole night before. And I felt terrible, Steve.
Did you try to extend
it right.
The olive branch? What'd you do?
So I had
me tug on this real quick.
I had passes for, you know, that little black box area?
Yeah.
For the MMRBQ.
Oh, good. You did
right. I had
right.
passes for that. And yes. I was like, here, I'm like, just so you know, I'm not a jerk on purpose. It was a total accident. Let me make it up to you. And I gave him those passes.
And was he mollified by that?
Yes.
Was it good? Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You took the right step.
Hang on. Randy wants to comment on the Plymouth meeting. Do they indeed have wait staff that comes and serve you inside of the theater itself? Hi, Randy. Good morning.
How you doing, Preston?
Good.
Yeah, you know me. I've actually been in your place before, and I saw you when you were at the movie theater, and I was building the Spider-Man standee.
Yes. You were putting the cardboard thing together. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
What's up, Randy?
All right. Plymouth 12 has a bar, but they do not serve inside the theaters.
Okay.
AMC Painters Crossing has a dinner and a movie, just like Flower Town and Providence and all that. They do serve you in the theater.
Where's Painters Crossing?
That's the one that's over on 202
and
Route 1.
It's across from plantar fasciitis.
Oh, 2 and Route 1?
Yeah.
Like out in Westchester.
202
and Route 1. Okay. Yeah, that's way far away from there. Okay.
And then Warrington right now is undergoing renovations to go full digital, and they're going to have a bar as well.
So most theaters, most of these large complexes are adding movie tavern style theaters as part of their collection of theaters, right? I mean, that seems to be the norm where a lot of them are going.
It's going that way because it's actually making them a little bit more money, but they also cut down their seating in order to improve their numbers.
They do because the seats are larger, and that's part of the deal. But again, since so much of them, but you add on then
it's being right. offset by a, more of a food cost that they're taking in. And the concessions have always been the big take of the theaters anyway.
Exactly.
That's all right,
the only,
interesting.
That's the only way the theaters make their money is through the concessions and the food.
Have they, have any of you set, done the
Thanks, Randy.
The full experience? The, I know, you, Casey, you have.
I did.
The 4X.
The 4DX.
Yeah, 4DX. Yeah.
Nick, you did Avengers, right?
I did Avengers, which was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Happy Monday. The smell of Thanos' home planet was pumped into the theater, and it, I was blown away by it. It was so cool.
What did it smell like?
Yeah, thank you.
Flowers.
And, yeah, like a garden.
Oh, when he, yeah. When
at
he,
the beginning of Endgame, when he, he's on his planet, and it was really neat the way they did
utopia.
It.
Utopia.
They should have had him in a house dress and act like, like a big moo-moo.
hang on.
Being here, it's so relaxing.
I just saw a text I wanted to mention. Oh, yeah, it says, accidentally saw 1917 in 4D, thinking that it was just extra big IMAX, and it was a huge surprise when the seats started running around, started moving around, and then they said, ruin the movie. All we wanted were comfortable big seats. Instead, we got sprayed with water.
Yeah, it's every experience. It's kind of like a roller coaster, and... if you're not prepared for it, it would totally throw you off.
Where are they showing 1917 in
King of Prussia?
King of Prussia.
That's the closest for
it,
you,
is
probably.
Is it still running there in that theater? Maybe that's a good one to try.
That's
probably.
The only
just
problem.
Opened last
yeah,
week.
Well, I don't know because the turnover for those is really, really quick. So you got to go see it within the first week or two. So I'm trying to think what just came out.
What was the big movie this weekend?
Oh, well, Doolittle maybe.
Or maybe Doolittle, yeah. But it's also not cheap. I think it's $25 a pop.
Okay.
For the 4, what is it, 4K?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
4D.
I don't know why I always say 4K.
DBDA.
I'm an idiot.
Right, well. 4D. Anyway, just thought it was kind of interesting that and sad that the Ritz at the Boers is closing by the end of January. So, but there are a lot of other cool theater options that are out there. We're looking at a video of this, of the 4D seats. And yeah, I've been to you know, like Disney and some other places that have.
I do love those
stuff,
those
like
motion
that.
Control rides.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I went to the Disney, and that wasn't Disney, but it was Universal in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And there was an advanced screening of Manchester by the Sea.
And they had the,
yeah, they had the whole
experience.
Yeah, it was really. It was incredible.
You really smell the seafoam. And
shaking around and everything.
Yeah. All right, interesting. Listen, we need to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. I got some bizarre file stories.
No.
We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey, by the way, somebody texted in and wanted to know, and I do too. I completely forgot about this. Kathy, did you win at the home show?
No. I know.
I'm sorry.
I guess that's why we didn't hear about it immediately.
You're right.
Who
won? Andy won it.
Andy won. Yeah. I think that
it
Andy
helps
is
to
really...
sleep with the judges.
No, Andy is so competitive. I swear, I'm not kidding you. If she didn't win... she may have jumped off a bridge.
Oh.
So right before they announced the winner, I said to her, I looked at her. She goes, look at you. You're just standing there. She goes, I'm sweating. I looked at her. I go, Andy, I really hope you win. And she did.
All right. So she says she's super competitive. Wow.
Yeah, very.
It's a good thing that. We like her a lot.
I'm going to have to step up my game because, she was like over the top. And but she was funny. When we went on air, I did a wine theme at my desk. I said that I don't use my desk for work. I use it for shopping. And when you're shopping online, you're drinking wine. And so then when they went to her, she went, well, unlike Kathy, I'm not drinking while my kids are around.
Wow.
Totally. It was kind of funny.
Wow. Okay. Well, she walked away victorious, but, you know.
So, Kathy, it was all like IKEA furniture, right?
Yes.
Okay, because I put together an IKEA desk on Thursday.
I know you did.
And I got into the final step before I realized that about six steps earlier, I put something on backwards.
You have to take it all apart.
I had to take it all apart. And then it didn't even matter because I couldn't even get that piece on anyway. The right hinge that... And I ended up kind of breaking a little bit of it, and yeah.
So what would you get for it? Who? So it was first, second, third place, right?
Yes, which I don't know. Why did they do that? Because then it just put Kristen, like, I was second place. So basically they're like, oh, sorry, Kristen. You know what I mean?
You suck.
They should have just announced the winner. Yeah, but there's supposed to be, there is a second show where we can compete again. And last year it was a lot of fun, but apparently this year they're changing it up. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. They may be asking one of you guys to do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, won't that be a joy? Can see those creations. All right.
We're coming after you.
Yeah. All right. Well, sorry, Kath.
Hey, listen, it happens.
All right. We need to do the Bizarre File, so we're going to do that very thing. Here we go. I'm skipping Rambo.
Bizarre presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, brought to you by Hers. This big cheese is
snack food for everyone.
Small. There you go. We got it in.
Man, my favorite cheese balls.
This big cheese is smaller than you think. Try Hers new mini cheese puffs.
85 per serving. I have 3 bags of it at home right now.
They taste anything but tiny. Hers forever good. All right. Let's get to the B-File stories. Authorities are looking for what they're calling a futuristic thief, who hovered his way through a Walmart and stole a number of items, including a television.
He was on something that was pretty cool I had not seen before.
Yeah, the police had released a surveillance video that shows an unidentified man roll into the business with a pair of electric roller skating shoes.
What? They're like a hoverboard, but like on each foot.
Police said the man grabbed a television and a bouquet and left the store without paying. They posted on their Facebook page, "Back to the Future's McFly, he's not, but his hover shoes, Voyagers, Moto Kicks, space shoes, or whatever you want to call them, makes him our first futuristic thief."
There's something sublime about the way he just floats in, robs the place, and then just floats out.
Police are asking anyone with information to contact them.
I need to see this footage.
It's cool.
A woman walking through the baggage claim area of Miami International Airport while casually removing all of her clothes is now in custody for a mental evaluation.
I'm sorry, I'm a little hot. I haven't been the same since I lost my IKEA challenge.
It was just before midnight when the stunned passenger spotted the woman walking by in her dark blue underwear.
I guarantee you this is not the kind of person you'd want to see naked.
I'm guessing so, too. I didn't see a mugshot, so I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess so. Video shows the woman appears to be singing as she's calmly taking off her clothes while walking through the area. Eventually, she is...
Now a little boys to men.
She is naked in the middle of the airport.
We don't even talk anymore.
Moments later, a video shows her on top of a police car near the airport exit.
FYI, did you know the video for this was shot in, where was it?
White Sands.
White Sands?
Yeah.
Funny, right?
She jumps off.
Tyler Banks is in the video.
She jumps off in traffic and runs over to a waiting police officer.
Poor cops.
Takes her into custody, yep. Passengers who saw the video were not expecting what they saw. Police say the woman is from out of state. A check found that she might have had a previous arrest from November. Police say that when they spoke with her, she was incoherent and delusional.
Not bad from behind.
Actually, yeah, Nick, you know what?
Body-wise, really?
Yeah. Steve, you're...
Yeah.
Oh, let me take a look.
Yeah. So they Baker acted her, meaning that she would be sent for a mental evaluation.
That's what I was expecting.
No.
I was expecting, where are my cigarettes?
Right. By the way, you did the Manthe voice, the last Daily Rush video. I forgot what it was. Oh, yeah, it was Kathy's thing inside her mouth.
Wait, what?
I watched it over and over. Your little your cyst in your mouth.
Oh.
And then your Manthe was saying, you know, when I'll guide your finger to it. Yeah, and when it touches, when I quiver.
Nervous.
Happens to all the guys. That was a lot of guys.
It happens to all the guys.
Yeah, so anyway.
Yeah.
You need to see that Daily Rush video. Okay, another story. There's a limit on how long a person can claim to be test driving a vehicle, as one driver discovered. Let's see. The driver, a 32-year-old Detroit woman, came to police attention after an officer noticed her car had a yellow registration tab. The officer could find no computer record of the vehicle, so he conducted a traffic stop. Asked her for her driver's license, registrations, and proof of insurance. She told him that she was just test driving the vehicle.
Yeah.
Police asked how long she had been test driving it, and she said, a couple of months. The officer asked why the vehicle had not been registered. She said that it wasn't registered because she had not officially bought the vehicle.
I'm still deciding.
She then handed the officer the car's title and her identification card. Apparently, she had 9 current suspensions and 2 driving with license suspended convictions, and also had multiple warrants out for in several jurisdictions.
Oh, and did the cop make a big deal out of that?
So she was arrested, and she was taken.
She seems completely roadworthy.
Mm-hmm. All right, then we'll do another story here. A Wisconsin man busted for selling weed and possessing other drugs told police that he ingested his dead mother's ashes.
Oh, my God.
Austin Schroeder allegedly sold drugs to undercover cops a number of times in Waukesha. A drug task force executed a search warrant for his apartment, and they found glass pipes, MDMA, bongs, and an unknown powder. Officers also found a large amount of gold and platinum stashed in a safe in the apartment. When cops questioned Schroeder about the powder, he told investigators his mother had died in 2019 and that she was cremated. So he told cops that he would mix his mother's ashes with a variety of substances, some of which he ultimately ingested.
Oh, God, man.
Imagine the life of this woman only to end up up this dude's nose.
Yep.
Didn't Keith Richards snort his dad?
He did, but he was fully alive and intact.
Okay. I want to say that it was an accident or something like that. Yeah. Casey sounds familiar. He was hit with a number of charges, by the way, for that. And there you go. That's what I have in this run on the Bizarre File.
I think the Keith Richards thing was a joke.
It was?
Yeah, he was saying, I've done everything under the sun, including smoking my dad's ashes or whatever, but he actually did not do that. He had to clarify later.
When Keith Richards says that, you go, yeah, he probably did that.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
All right, who snorted their dog then? They accidentally spilled cocaine on their dog and then...
That was Gary Busey.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure...
Yeah, you're right.
That was a story. So he had spilled some on the dog, and he would, every now and then go and sniff on the dog.
I saw a clip of a Gary Busey recent interview, where he was the most cogent and together I have ever seen him.
Wow.
Like talking about his career and talking about the character in Lethal Weapon and all this stuff. I'm like, what the hell has happened?
Wow. You know what? Senility has gone the other way with him, Steve.
It's made him sharper.
It made him normal.
In the case of what is being referred to as reverse Alzheimer's.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Unbelievable.
Wow, okay. That's the B-File. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll see if you've been listening all morning, because we'll have a question about today's show for the lesson question. Trash and music news. Got a lot of music news today to run by you, so we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
What did I want to remind you of? Oh, yes, a reminder that today, no easy money promotion. It will return tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., your first chance to win. So make sure that you're paying attention. But if you're holding on until 11 for Pierre to get it to you, no, we're taking the day off. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day today. And so 11, 1, 4, and 6 will not happen today. But tomorrow, you get started once again, 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m. So just be prepared to win some more money.
It's sort of cool when the office is closed.
Yeah.
Kind of get some stuff done.
You made a point earlier, Steve. No meeting today.
No meeting. That's cool.
A Monday meeting, which eats up a bit of time.
We can do our little bonfire thing that we like to do with the drum.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
The dancing.
All right. We're going to do today's lesson question, though, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets as the Preston and Steve Show presents True TV's Impractical Jokers at the Scoopski Potatoes Tour. And this is Friday, August 14th at The Man. And let's see, the question, what equipment does Steve like to keep by the toilet just in case he gets severely constipated?
It's true.
215-263-WMMR. What equipment does Steve like to keep by the toilet just in case he gets severely constipated? Actually, it probably would help a little bit if you had these. All right. Call now if you were listening. You know the answer. We're going to do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Let's get some stories. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, a stomach virus forcing Scarlett Johansson to skip the Santa Barbara Film Festival, where she won the Best Actress Award for Marriage Story. Johansson sent a video explaining that her diarrhea was so bad, fecal pulp had sprayed up her toilet seat and all over a crochet tissue box.
Wow.
Hey!
I don't know if they needed to know that. 38-year-old Paris Hilton revealing that she has been playing a character for years and is now ready to reveal who she really is. Hilton says that despite what her finely honed character would suggest, she's actually a stupid rich whore.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's what she's claiming. Oh, it's a character she's been playing. And finally, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle will no longer have their royal titles now that they are both becoming private citizens. As such, both Harry and Meghan will no longer be able to order beheadings and must now settle for purple nurples. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to today's lesson question. What equipment does Steve like to keep by the toilet just in case things get a little constipated? I will go to Clint for the answer. Hey, Clint, how you doing?
Who are you?
Hey, what's up, big?
All right. Nice. Clint, what does Steve like to keep by the toilet?
Ski pole.
Ski pole. You, sir, got it right. Clint, hang on the line. Going to get your information, and we're going to give you a pair of tickets as Preston and Steve Show presents True TV's Impractical Jokers, the Scoop Ski Potatoes Tour starring the Tenderloins, Friday, August 14th at The Man. And tickets are on sale now at WMMR.com for complete details. I want to go back to the Paris Hilton thing for just a moment.
Yes.
You know, I read the other day that, now, it's interesting that she's saying that she's been playing a character all these years.
Yes.
She's ready to reveal the real her. I wonder if she will do this. I had read that she has always used blue contact lenses, that her eyes are actually
really
brown.
Huh.
And that she wears...
Interesting.
She has very, very blue eyes.
She does, yeah.
And that those are contacts. I don't know if that's true or not. I would like to find that out. And if so, if she's going to be her real self, will she remove those?
I find it hard to believe
that she's that smart to do a 24-hour character for 38 years.
Right, yeah. I don't believe.
Yeah.
There just seems... There doesn't... This onion doesn't seem to have many layers.
Yeah.
And I told you, I've met her before.
Yes.
I was in her presence.
Did she lean over and go, by the way, it's all an act. I'm actually incredibly smart.
Yeah, no, but like on that show, The Simple Life, they were feeding her line for line. She'd say one line, and then they'd cut, and then she'd say a second sentence, and then they'd cut. Like
that they would give to her.
What's this word? Paris.
Yeah, say, oh, that's hot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Well.
So, I mean, good for her if it was an act.
Okay.
She won't be hurting no matter what happens.
Yeah, she'll be all right.
Yeah, but don't you worry about her. All right, music news time.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Big balls. I have a lot today. We're going to start with this. Nickelback's official website has launched a countdown clock that is scheduled to hit zero tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific time. The band also has released a one-minute teaser video and captioned it with lyrics from the song Photographed from the 2005 album All the Right Reasons. The hashtags ATRR15 and MB2020...
Oh, yeah.
...are on that, and this suggests a celebration of the 15th anniversary of their fifth studio album is in the works for this year.
That's what I got.
All the Right Reasons, which is ATRR15, was released in October 2005 when it topped the Canadian and U.S. album charts. It has sold 12 million copies worldwide.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and is the quartet's best-selling album to date, moving well over 8 million copies in the U.S. alone. So
I'm down with Nickelback now. They get themselves. They're not as pompous, and you know, having met them now, they're pretty cool. They're all right.
Russia's gated. Jesus, I can't freaking speak. Rush's Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson have spoken up through the band's social channels for the first time since the announcement of Neil Peart's death. The pair wrote, "Our most heartfelt thanks go out to family, friends, musicians, writers, and fans from around the globe for the incredible outpouring of love and respect for Neil since his passing. These touching tributes help to lessen the pain of this terrible loss and remind us all to celebrate his remarkable life and our connections to it." Meanwhile, Billboard reported late last week that Rush song streams surged by 776%, while sales grew by more than 2,000% in the U.S. in the days following Neil's death. Between January 10th and the 13th, on-demand audio and video streams of Rush's catalog increased a combined 24.54 million.
Wow.
The band's 1981 classic Tom Sawyer was the most streamed song during the period, with 2.8 million listens, compared to the 698,000 streams it registered between January 6th and January 9th.
What was Rush's biggest selling album of all time, Preston?
I would imagine that it was Moving Pictures. That has Tom Sawyer and Limelight and Red Barchetta on it and YYZ. So those are it's their most popular album. So I would assume it sold the most, but that's just me guessing, Steve. So song sales were at 19,000 compared to 1,000 in the previous 3 days, with album sales increasing 1,820% to 6,000. Elsewhere, Rush songs took up 23 of the 25 positions on Billboard's Lyric Find U.S. and Global chart, which ranked the fastest momentum-gaining tracks in lyric search queries and usage globally in the U.S., respectively. Tom Sawyer was most popular, followed by Limelight, The Trees, Temples of Syrinx, Losing It, and The Garden. So just some interesting stats. And by the way, I meant to bring this up last week, and I kept forgetting to do it, but a local drummer, and I don't know who it was, Pierre had told me indirectly he knew someone who was a friend of this guy who put up billboards all over the area.
Yes!
That said, "Farewell to the King, Neil Peart, 1952 to 2020, with a picture of Neil sitting at his drum kit.
Wow.
It was really cool. And from what I understand, it's just a guy who spent his own money and wanted to put that up. And
he's local?
He's local.
Oh.
And the billboards went up around here. So that's pretty damn amazing that somebody did that. And I would like to find out who that was. So I wanted to make sure that people were aware that that was out there.
The ones I read about, Preston, were out on 422 out in Berks County, like out past Redding. Is that what you saw as well?
Yeah, but okay. I heard that. I thought there were some around here, too, Nick. Okay. I might be incorrect. But, yeah, it was his, up along 422 in Berks County.
So these are fixed billboards that we're looking at a picture right here. Did they do any digital?
I thought they were all digital.
This looks like a regular fixed billboard that we're looking at right here.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd heard they were the digital billboards, but to get one up that quickly, I didn't even know they could do it that quickly. So hold on, here comes Marissa. Looks like she got something to say.
Sorry, my mic isn't working in the other room. They are digital because I've seen them all over the place. I saw them right on 676 across from Boathouse Row.
That one we just saw up is digital?
Yeah.
Really?
They're good looking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that digital billboard going into Conchie on 76 is really cool.
Yeah,
it
like
is.
An odd shape.
Oh, yeah.
That
caught me off guard. Yeah, it's like a bizarre angular shape.
They've started to create really cool signs like that. There's one near Westchester. There's one up in Quakertown as well, where they really construct these things to look cool. I mean, they have like landscaping around them and stuff like that.
You know, it would be cool if they could take the billboard from the angle that you're traveling at and put what's behind it so that periodically it would appear to disappear.
See through it?
Yeah,
like a cloaking device.
Well, and that one specifically on the Schuylkill, and there are a number of places like it, it's such a huge space, so they can, you know, kind of put something a little fancy there.
That looks aesthetically appealing.
And you're usually driving 3 miles an hour when you're there anyway.
Well, you know what? And with those digital billboards, when they switch, like I'll see something for a second, and I'm like, wait, what did that say? I'm like, please come back around before I pass you.
Steve, you're actually right. It does give you something to read while you're sitting in go-nowhere Schuylkill Expressway traffic.
So much fun.
Bret Michaels is set to undergo a procedure to remove a patch of skin cancer. He's revealed to his fans ahead of the band's upcoming tour with Motley Crue, Def Leppard, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts that he is set to undergo surgery for a torn shoulder rotator cuff and have the cancer removed after it showed up on a recent biopsy.
So prognosis all good otherwise?
Said after a recent kickoff of the new year, physical and MRI has been brought to my attention that I have torn my right shoulder rotator cuff, which would answer the question why it looks like a lump or bone was sticking out of my right shoulder. A little more complex, I will have to undergo a procedure to remove skin cancer that was detected after a recent biopsy. It may slow me down a bit at the beginning of the year, but if God willing, I promise this year will be awesome. He's had all kinds of medical
things. He has diabetes.
Things over the years.
He has had brain issues. I think he had a brain bleed at one point. He had the that super heavy a curtain at a show come down on his head.
But you know what? He's in great shape.
He is.
Physically. He's like, he's in really good shape for his age.
And has a big dong.
Yeah, as opposed to like a Vince Neil.
Yeah.
Well, I always said, you know, even though they're in completely different bands, I always kind of got them confused with each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Both blonde, you know, front guys. But old Vince ballooned up a little bit.
Just a bit.
Brett has stayed pretty fit and trim. So moving on. I like this. The 1990s are alive and well. Bare Naked Ladies have rolled out the band's sixth Last Summer on Earth tour with the 2020 edition featuring special guests the Gin Blossoms and Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh, that's cool.
I'd love to see this show. Toad the Wet Sprocket, Gin Blossoms, and Bare Naked Ladies together. And guess what? They are going to be at the Met July 14th.
I was a Toad the Wet Sprocket fan.
I love that band.
I met them a couple times. They in person, they look like a medieval circus because there's all different types, you know. Just a weird collection of guys, but the songs were good.
Their harmonies are fantastic. They did great three-part harmonies, and I love their songs, and I always dug that band. So they're doing a 34-city jaunt, and they will be here July 14th. I don't have the on-sale information, unfortunately.
Pre-sale is Thursday the 23rd at 10 a.m., and then after that will be the regular on sale.
God, Y100, we played the hell out of all those artists.
Yeah.
Jim Blossom's Toad the Wet Sprocket Band. Fall Down. Great song, man. This is one of their more up-tempo moving songs. There's a really cool harmony part. It's in the middle of the song, so we're not going to sit here and listen to it to wait for that, but it's definitely worth checking out. All right. Is this all I want?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's Name That Tune with Preston Elliott and all Toad the Wet Sprocket songs.
Well, all right, so is this Toad the Wet Sprocket? This Walk on the Ocean.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's another one of their, probably second to this song as far as their most popular songs went. So
throw the Meat Puppets in on this tour and you're good to go.
There you go. Dorothy singer Dorothy Martin recently revealed that she had her breast implants removed. She's also urging other women to do the same, saying, I heard about breast implant illness only after making the connection between my deteriorating mental and physical health and having implants myself. Although the illness is not recognized yet by doctors as an official diagnosis, women around the world have experienced symptoms ranging from chest pain to hair loss to depression. She said, I do feel better, but the full detox process takes some time. She's currently working on the follow-up to 2018's 28 Days in the Valley, which featured the hit Flawless, and we are going to have her on this week, Casey?
Yes, most likely Friday.
Okay.
So what kind of implants did she have?
I don't know.
If they're silicone?
It was the silicone implants that I have heard that women wanted to
remove. Are problematic.
As opposed to the saline, but some are just removing them altogether no matter what.
Now, do they do augmentation with your own fat? I think that's the trendiest, or at least that's what I've heard.
Don't know.
That they actually, the same way they relocate fat from your body in other areas, that they will use your own
body. I think that's matter. Way more expensive.
No doubt, yeah.
Steve, she posted this video on Instagram, and it does not say what kind of implants they were, but she's holding up the actual implants that are now out of her body. In two separate bags, and she refers to them as toxic fun bags.
Well, we'll find out directly from her on Friday, so we'll ask her all those questions. Dirty Honey, playing the MMRBQ, has recorded a cover of Aerosmith's 1976 song Last Child for the Amazon Originals series, available only on Amazon Music. The original version was released on Aerosmith's classic album Rocks. And Mark LaBelle, singer of the band, said that Aerosmith has been a huge influence on our band, and Last Child is a staple in our live set. So to be tipping our hat to the band is really special. There goes Steven Tyler.
One of the best, I hate to say it, because you know, you don't want anybody to be hurt, but he has one of the best stage falls in history.
Yep, I agree. Marissa just handed this breaking news. This just in.
Right.
Handed this to me.
breaking news.
Pearl Jam has revealed the complete track listing for their upcoming studio album, Gigaton.
Huh.
Shared via Twitter. Here are the list of songs. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever Said, Super Blood Wolf Moon.
Yeah.
Dance of the Clairvoyance. We knew that that was going to be the first release from what I understand. Quick Escape, All Right, 7 O'Clock, Never Destination, Take the Long Way, Buckle Up, Comes Then Goes, Retrograde, and River Cross.
Bonus track?
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
We'll have new music on, looks like, on Wednesday.
Okay. Or
right now.
We don't even talk anymore.
Oh, man. Wow, man. It sounds just like Boys to Men. What a wonderful tribute.
They've really worked in some harmonies.
Yeah. That's weird. I think this is it. There it is.
This is Whoever Said.
This is what?
Whoever Said. The
yeah,
first track.
The first track. Yeah. Yeah. So whoever's
beautiful
said,
man,
yeah,
because he said. Does have him in his heart all the time.
In parentheses, Nick McElwain,
yeah, old woman at a counter.
Gigaton is Pearl Jam's 11th studio album and the first since Lightning Bolt, which came out in 2013. Wow,
it's crazy.
In the coming weeks, we will hear the first release, Dance of the Clairvoyance. So it is on the way.
I've done a lot of solo stuff.
No, not in a couple of weeks, Preston. This week. Wednesday.
This week. Wednesday. Day after tomorrow. Midweek. Getting over the hump.
Hump day.
All right. What else I have here? Slipknot and Stone Sour frontman Corey Taylor was asked by the Irish Times if a successful band could survive just on royalties from streaming sales. And he responded, "You could if the streaming system wasn't set up the way it is. You're being paid less than pennies."
Snap.
He said if the streaming systems paid more online with how publishing and radio pays, people could make a living.
See, radio's good.
That's why I brought the story up.
Yeah.
I have had friends of mine who have had to retire, and they are popular bands because they can't make a living. I have got a problem with streaming. I've got a problem with how these streaming services rip off the artists, and I'll say that until the day I die. It revealed that the going rate for a million streams on YouTube, listen to this, a million streams on YouTube, which he claimed pays the lowest rate, was 0.04% of a penny per stream, meaning the artist gets around $400 for a million streams.
A million streams gets the artist $400.
This is from Corey Taylor. I don't know how accurate this is, but apparently he's illustrating how low the payout is for that.
Wow.
Yeah. He added, people can't live on that, and there's not a lot of people who get these numbers. The majority of this goes to the record label anyway. So
that's ridiculous.
And yeah, even Eddie would get up and be upset about that, too. And there you go. That's what I have. And music news for you this
quick morning. Question, if I may. Do different streaming services pay different percentages, or is that sort of the set rate? In other words,
well, it said YouTube pays the lowest.
Okay.
In that particular,
and radio is the best.
Yeah. In that particular story, hang on, he had said.
So it's YouTube and the other ones.
Yeah, he said YouTube pays the lowest rate. So I guess it depends on the service.
All right.
All right. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll get the letter of the day. Ray Koob is in today for Pierre Robert, so he gets to pick the letter for the Word of the Week prize. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Huxley. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword local shots.
Huxley, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
We're about ready to wrap up the Preston and Steve program, and it's just been us and you, and we appreciate you being here today. We've certainly had a good time. The cold weather continuing. Next couple of days, sunshine and 33 today, 36 tomorrow with sun, and we slowly warm up. 41 on Wednesday, 45 on Thursday, 47 on Friday, which is kind of, I think, where we're supposed to be anyway.
Yeah, it was the antithesis of the past, you know, week and a half when we had that shift on Saturday. So, oh, yeah, that's what winter is like.
Yep, exactly. We welcome to the studio one, Mr. Ray Koo.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Awesome, man. Good to see you.
Good to see everybody. And thanks for waking me up better than coffee this morning, getting going. It's early for me to get in here, but it's great to be here with you guys and filling in for Pierre.
Yeah.
And don't let the, you guys have been in here this morning.
Yeah.
Don't let the sun fool you. You get hit with the wind out there. That wind chill you were talking about earlier, single digits, it's definitely for real out there.
Oh, yeah,
so
we
know. You worked on Saturday. What time were you in here?
I was driving in it.
You were driving out in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was telling these guys, it didn't seem bad to me. My wife and I went out to dinner Saturday night, and then we got on the Northeast Extension, and we're driving along. We see flashers, and there's a car gotten up on top of the guardrail somehow or another, and another mile down the road in the other, the northbound lanes, another car wiped out, smashed into the wall, and
what
then
the
we had dinner, and we came out, and we're stepping out onto the sidewalk, and it was a solid sheet of ice. So
that's what I found Sunday morning up in Doylestown. Everything, all the little bit of snow that we had, it all froze over. So it was like I walked outside, and I looked at it, and you could see that the light shimmering off it, and you're like, I'm not going out there until it cleans up a bit.
I honestly didn't expect that, but only lasted for a little while.
It was beautiful for us and for injury lawyers.
We are in the clear now. So we need you to help us with the letter of the day. You ready?
I am.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
M, as in Martin. As in Martin Luther King Day.
Excellent. Well done. We have a six-pack of pit tickets for the MMRBQ 2020. Ooh. Saturday, May 16th, BB&T Pavilion tickets are on sale now, $25 for the early bird special and lawn tickets while supplies last. Pavilion seats start at $49.50. Complete details at WMMR.com. 9 bands, Disturbed, Sublime with Rome, The Pretty Reckless, Royal Blood, Puddle of Mud, Crobot, Dirty Honey, The Who, Foxtrot, and The Get Down, local group, by the way. So that is coming up, and we'll give away those pit tickets on Friday. Get set. So you have a wide open day ahead of you, sir.
I do. I'm going to get a fresh cup of coffee, do the coffee break, and forward we go.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, hang with Coop, man. He's going to take good care of you today. Taking suggestions from listeners, I would imagine.
Wide open at noon. Come on in.
All right. Love it. Let me see. Thank you to the sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. The program has been brought to you by Acme Fresh Foods, Local Flavors, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow, we're going to have Adam Carolla on. I haven't talked to Adam in a long,
Adam's great.
Long time.
Got a new movie.
In our studio, Terry Crews will be by here.
Terry is
awesome. He is so much fun.
Last time we had him into the studio, he's great. Very candid, very cool.
Most definitely.
Very big.
So he will be here tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll have many other things that we will get into. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
A sword swallower. You want to impress me? Stick it up the other way.
Next message.
Hey, Preston and Steve. Just got our MMRBQ tickets today, and I'm looking forward to seeing all those bands, especially the...
Next message.
All right, how the hell does it happen that a food store runs out of sour cream? It's a... NFL playoff Sunday, you should be stocked up out the wazoo with sour cream, chips, and etc. How the f*** do you run out of sour cream?
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.